theirs beats Battlestar Galactica.
Nerd! You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Bazinga.
Two in the box.
Ready to go.
Can you be fast?
Maybe slow.
Cool.
Couldn't resist the Friends reference.
I'm going to need to get it again.
And we're recording. Thank you for checking out the Mount Geekmore podcast, your favorite podcast where we come up with, discuss, argue, and talk about your top four, your Mount Rushmore, if you will, of your favorite pop culture subjects. Today's pop culture subject is the most rewatchable movies.
Shake your tits. What?
The most rewatchable movies. I am Nary Sines. With me, as usual, is David Ulloa.
Howdy.
Stephanie Ulloa.
Hello.
And my wife, Vanessa.
That's me,
Vanessa.
I swear I'm not drinking. I swear.
All right, so how did you guys select your list? How did you guys go about grabbing your list, son? Stephanie?
I had a couple of qualifications. If I know a lot of the lines from it and I can use them and reference them in everyday life, that was on there. I also had a
I know which movies are number one.
I also had, you think this is the diary, you think you know, but you have no idea. I also, my mom is a little OCD and like really likes things really clean, and when we were kids we were like confined to our rooms while she was cleaning, like we were
as
allowed,
children should be,
we were not allowed out of our rooms while she was while she was cleaning. So my brother and I used to just watch certain movies over and over again, and a few of those are on mine as well, so that's how I made my list.
Wife.
So I was just flung into this podcast about 10 minutes before we started. So my list originally was going to be the rewatchable children's movies that don't make me want to blow my brains out. But Stephanie did talk me out of it. So
I said that she would be doing herself a disservice if she did that.
Well, you're doing yourself a disservice by a rule that you impose on yourself.
Well, no, I'm not. I don't feel like I am.
Okay.
So I have some movies that are not children's movies.
Okay. David?
What I ended up doing was going with movies that I personally have either found myself often longing to watch again or have, in fact, watched multiple times.
So your entire amount is Terminator? All the Terminator movies.
There goes my numbers 1, 2, 3.
All the Terminator movies.
And 4. But
and Genesis.
And Genesis, it's not Salvation. Fuck that.
I don't even know what Salvation is.
There is none for that one.
No.
I found that, and this is something I've never given much thought. I just like, hey, I wanna watch this movie again. The movies for me tended to be movies that were not terribly long. And had a good balance of humor, lightheartedness, action, adventure, and somewhat quick pacing. So many of the movies on my mountain are similar in that regard. So that's what I did. You know, just you know, my personal rewatch list.
I agree with you in the sense that, like, I don't have any. There are certain dramas that I love that are really good that I'm not necessarily going to sit down and watch all the time just because they're like sad or like depressing or whatever. Like, so I agree with you.
If I invest myself in a movie, and if a movie takes you to a dark place, it's not even if I love the film, I don't necessarily watch it often because of what it does to my mood.
Yeah, you know? And these movies for me are like, I could either like throw them on in the background while I'm doing stuff, or I'll sit down and watch them, like, and usually while I'm cleaning
and
I'll sit down and watch them.
These are for me anyway movies that I personally rewatch over and over and and over again. There are movies that may be more rewatchable, but I personally have watched these more times than probably any other movie.
Okay.
Mary?
I am going by movies that are that I love and that I find to be more rewatchable, not movies per se that I have rewatched. So it's not the movies that I've watched, not necessarily the movies that I've watched the most, but the movies that are rewatchable that I love more so, because it, as much as, and I could spit off numbers as far as how many times I've seen a certain movie, I don't know, they're like, because Vanessa and I have children, we watch the same movie over and over and over and over again. Not that, not to say that we don't like the movie, because I am a true fan of a lot of the movies that my kids watch over and over and over again. But I've, you know, give you an example of a movie that I absolutely love and adore is, just to give a Disney movie, because none of the Disney movies made my list, spoiler alert. Aladdin. I've seen or Lion King, one that my daughter watches Lion King more so than Aladdin, and I've seen that movie more times than I've seen any movie on my list, I think. Not really, maybe, I don't know, whatever. My point is, it doesn't make my list because it's not, it's about which movie I love the most that is rewatchable, not necessarily that I have rewatched.
I agree, which is what I was trying to tell Vanessa, because I think that's kind of where she was going initially.
Yeah.
And
if we go with the movies that I've seen the most in my life, simply on the last, you know, 2 years, they definitely would be, you know, like The Black Cauldron, you know, Big Hero 6, Hercules, and I don't know, Three Caballeros. Like, those are Link's favorite movies, you know.
Babe.
Yeah.
So I'm on the iTunes, and just the movies
on the iTunes.
Yeah, and I just put as far as which movies we've played the most. And before we get to a non-animated movie, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Does this account for the whole 40, family 15, share, or just 16, you guys?
No, just us.
No, just Neri's account.
Just my account. Yeah, it's not even including Vanessa's.
Include my movies.
Her movies. So there's 16 movies that account for, the top 16 account for the most movies that we've watched from iTunes.
Right.
And
but those are the kids.
Those are all animated movies.
Yeah.
Before we get to Guardians of the Galaxy.
And that's another one the kids watch.
Not really.
Yes.
Okay.
Sophie likes the tree.
Of course.
And the raccoon.
Who doesn't like those two? Those are the best things about that movie.
I am Groot.
Well, you don't like Groot.
That's not true.
Baby Groot.
That's not true.
Oh, that's true.
That's neither true at all.
You think Baby Groot is overrated?
Overrated. I love.
He doesn't like the marketing scheme.
Exactly. I love Baby Groot. I love Rocket Raccoon more so than any other character. Oh, and the fact that that's people choose a dumb fucking tree over Rocket Raccoon.
Trees
is beyond
are not
me.
Dumb.
I think he just, I think you're the worst person ever made.
Okay. Sure.
And I'm fucking terrible.
And I'm okay with that. I am okay with that. You know why?
Because says a lot about yourself.
Because
you know what you are, and you're okay with it.
I like me, and that's okay. That's all that matters.
What was that bit that
SNL? Yeah,
SNL. Franklin. What was it?
The self motivator.
Yeah,
whatever. I don't know the quote. All right,
I'm
so
find it.
I still have 7 picks, and I don't know which one. Which ones are gonna cut? Which ones I'm gonna cut? All right. Hold on. Why are we not here? What's going on? Oh, there was also news. Oh, we missed that in the geek newsy.
Say it now.
Boo.
Say it now.
No,
do it now.
There's news that one of the characters from the new Predator movie is going to be the son of Gary Busey's character in Predator 2.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh my God, for real?
Franken, so, Al Franken. That was the actor.
I just saw a movie recently. All right, so fuck, man, I don't know which movie. Wow, I don't know which movie I'm gonna cut, guys. I'm sorry.
I was in that predicament.
You can think about
like
it.
Half an hour ago.
All right, so number 4, Stephanie, hit me with your number 4, girl.
Me first.
Hit me with your number 4,
Stuart Smalley.
My number 4.
I said, hey,
actually came to me about half an hour ago, just in reading some of the the comments from like the Geekmore page, and Dave posted it on his Facebook as well. And I can't believe I completely forgot this movie because I watch it all the goddamn time.
There's no need to use the
been watching it since
Chris
I was
Kringle.
I've been watching it since I was 3 years old and quoting it since I was 3 years old. And I had to bump
The Princess Bride
a movie off. No, I had to bump a movie off into my honorable mentions, and it made me really sad. But I've seen this one more than I've seen that other one. And my number four is Beetlejuice.
Okay.
Awesome. Awesome movie.
Good choice.
I fucking love that movie. I can watch it any day, anytime. I
love that movie.
The whole bit where he knocks down the tree and goes, nice fucking model. I would do that when I was like 3 and 4 years old.
And then grab your crotch
and then
honk.
Grab my crotch and honk my...
I did as well. I did so, that.
But that's a movie that I couldn't quote. I quote often. And
hey, hermano.
Yeah. What are the quotes you use currently? And as a kid, I know that's a very highly quotable movie.
I mean, my whole life is a dark room, one big dark room. I say that all the time. Like, Lydia Deetz is the original emo kid. I'm dying to have a Beetlejuice themed Halloween party where everybody sits around and does the dance, the banana boat dance. I love that movie. I love Harry Belafonte because of that movie. Alec Baldwin looks really hot in that movie.
In my opinion, it is the
he's not a fat piece of shit.
It's the quintessential Tim Burton movie.
Man, he still looks good.
But he's super fat now.
I wouldn't say he was super fat. He was a stud.
No,
I wouldn't say super fat. I would say he's fat, but he still looks amazing. He's like 60.
Yeah, I know.
If I looked that good at 35, I'd be fucking happy.
That's a great cast too. Like Catherine O'Hara's in that.
She's so funny in everything.
She's hilarious in everything that she does. She's great in that movie. I like the realtor lady that's trying to get them to sell their house. She's annoying as fuck, but she's funny.
The fat guy that plays Otho.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't know the actor's name.
Yeah, but he's everything he's in, he's very funny in.
Yeah. I like
what
that.
What else has he been in?
I can't remember right
he's
now,
in
but
a lot
I remember
the Christopher Guest movies with Catherine O'Hara and a lot of those people. But I love when they redesign the house. The old lady when they go into the afterlife, when it's like the old lady that's got like her throat slit. That lady always reminded of my grandma because she smoked like 10 packs a day. So yeah, it's a good movie. That's also the old lady that in Mars Attacks that when you play her music, like the alien heads blow up. It's the same lady.
Never saw that movie.
You've never seen Mars Attacks?
No.
Oh, that movie is awesome.
What's wrong with you?
Okay.
Well, so Beetlejuice.
And on top of that,
I watched it after I watched Terminator.
Okay. It's the concept of the afterlife is really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. You know? It's a different take on what like the traditional heaven and hell kind of thing.
There's no mention of it at all.
Well, she asks Gina Davis when they first speak to Beetlejuice, her character. Mm-hmm. She's like, are we halfway to heaven? Are we halfway to hell? Like, how long is this going to last?
They're kind of in
like a purgatory state, and that kind of is the afterlife. Is you're there and you're you know wherever you are. So, yeah, my number four. And so, Nary.
I love that movie. Tim Burton, Danny Elfman, Michael Keaton.
Okay,
it's a match made in movie heaven.
Totes.
Vanessa.
Totes.
Your number four.
I'm very unprepared for this list, you guys. So,
well, I mean, in all fairness, we were supposed to have a different person as our fourth person, so you weren't preparing, and then that person canceled at the end because they had a family emergency, which is not my business to say, so I won't give names, but that's why you filled in for that, you know, willingly.
Right, that's why I'm unprepared for this movie. I mean, for this mountain. So my list really has like no rhyme or reason for the order. It is what it is. So I'm gonna so my number four, I'm gonna put this one as my number four because it is animated. So I'll just leave it at the bottom. It is The Little Mermaid. It was one of those movies. She's Ariel's my favorite Disney princess. I love that she's a mermaid.
Is she still a Disney princess?
Yes.
Oh, that's right, because she married into
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
She married into.
She was still a princess under the sea.
Right, but
her father is a king. His name is King Triton.
However, once you get married, you're no longer part of that family. Now you're part of another family.
But she also married.
So she went from being a princess in one kingdom to another.
I just said. Oh, she married into royalty.
But
I
she
just
was
said
already
that.
Royalty. Already
doesn't
royalty.
Matter.
She was a princess
if she
without
married,
marriage.
If she would have been, if she would have been a, such a cunt and married an actual human being other than a prince, she would no longer be a princess.
I am no. Hang on. I am going to use history. Princess.
This motherfucker coming in with facts. every goddamn time, some people want to just talk shit.
Isabel,
you come along
Isabel
with facts.
Ferdinand's daughter that was married to the king
to
of
Henry Tudor, to Henry Tudor, yeah.
Right. What was her name? Was
Catherine
it Catherine?
Of
Catherine,
Catherine
of right.
Henry
so she remained.
It's Henry VIII, but okay.
The eighth.
She remained
she's one of the
princess
she
of Spain
did,
and Queen of England.
Correct. That
exactly.
Is absolutely.
So
correct.
She held both titles.
So yeah, you.
So she's a double princess.
Yeah. However, my point is that she didn't marry a regular person. She married a royalty.
Right.
That's not true either.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
That's not true.
Had she married? Had she married?
No, that's not
if
true.
Eric would have been a pauper.
Wrong.
But he isn't.
But again, that's why I was just.
But that's
I
not
was.
What,
I started.
That's not what would have happened?
I started
according
the conversation.
To the way monarchies
Jesus
work.
Christ, man! How do you do it, man? You fucking deserve a medal. I can't deal with this shit, man. This is fucking hour.
So
this is the second hour of the day that I've been with her. Not even consecutively, and I'm fucking about to shoot my brains out, man.
Eric would have become prince of the
Atlantica is where they're
Atlantica,
from.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, she would have retained her nobility.
Which is all I was trying to say.
So as I started the conversation, I said, oh, is she still a princess? And then I said, caught myself, and I said, oh, that's right. She married a prince. Is that not true as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So why this whole conversation?
She doesn't lose her title.
Why this whole conversation? Why this whole conversation? I said, is she a princess? Oh, that's right. She married a prince. That's it. That's all I said. Okay. Talk about Little Mermaid. Fucking cunt, bitch.
Get out. Get the fuck out. I don't want
to
talk to you anymore.
I'm sorry. I think you're referring to Belle.
Yes.
No.
See that episode?
No.
Reference that episode of Fubro.
I mean, the only reason I don't...
Like
the
those,
only reason
those
I
footnotes
don't call...
in the comic books where something happened and it's like, oh, Lost? See issue 474
exactly.
of Justice League.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. Go back to whatever.
It's 202.
And, yeah, and listen to Nary and stuff fight about Belle because she is the fucking cunt.
She's the best.
She's cunty the fucking AF. Cunt. She's the
best. The only reason I don't get on Little Mermaid,
I don't like that
for her being
what.
The only reason I don't get on, the only reason I don't get on Little Mermaid for being a cunt is because she's 16, and you got to take that into account because
she's 16,
all
16-year-old,
all 16, not a child, all 16-year-old, all 16-year-olds are cunt, male or female.
Years old, Daddy,
all,
she's not a child.
I'm not a child. Ugh.
Okay, so I love.
And she wants to just go somewhere where they don't reprimand their daughters. We don't reprimand their daughters.
Where bright young women, sickest women, are ready to stand.
Well, I could do it
Little
with
Mermaid
Stephanie.
Is my number four. Go ahead, David.
That's it?
Nobody's letting me speak.
Nothing on Sebastian, Flounder, Scuttle?
Scuttle's
nobody's
great.
Letting me speak.
Fuck, Buddy no. Hackett, man.
The way?
Well, we're talking about your movie, man. We're talking about your pick.
I want to say stuff.
Then say it.
Now I don't want to anymore.
Okay,
you
then,
guys heard
then we're going
to
continue talking about it then. Scuttle's a fucking... I love Scuttle, man.
He's my favorite character in the movie.
Who does he remind you of? Talking about things as if he knows what he's talking about, but he actually has no idea. Who does Scuttle remind you of?
Our president?
Shmamul?
Our president. I don't know which one is funnier. Our president or Shmamul?
Oh man, I'm just gonna take a sip of Flugin from this scarf flat over here. And
oh my god, that's his new nickname in the chat. Scuttle. Scuttle.
You know who I think is a severely you know who I think is a severely underappreciated character
podcast.
In that movie? Grimsby.
The butler?
Prince Eric's valet. Yeah.
Why
valet, rather.
Why?
Because he's the straight man to Eric's jokes.
Eric there's a half make jokes. Jokes.
Yeah, he does. He's got
also,
some jokes.
Grimsby's probably not straight, but you know.
Tim Gunn should totally play him.
Oh my god,
Tim Gunn already plays that role on the Princess Sophia show.
Yeah,
who should there you go?
Makes more
you know
jokes who would be than good? Grimsby.
What's his name that played Nightcrawler?
Alan Cumming.
Alan Cumming. Alan Cumming. He would be great.
Oh, shit. Send that shit to Disney when you start casting that live action version.
Yeah.
Good job, Neri.
Thank you. I was like, oh my God. I just pictured
Lindsay
it.
Lohan doesn't play Ariel.
Oh my God, I'll kill myself.
Who was also in GoldenEye that we were talking about earlier today. Yes, he's Boris Grishenko.
I love him.
Oh, okay.
Computer programmer. She's only a level 3.
Alan Cumming. That's all you care about.
Alan Cumming.
I am invincible. he was so good was in that good. Movie.
He's good fucking, in every movie.
He is good in everything.
I don't care what you say about X-Men 3. Fucking, this guy's the shit.
Nightcrawler.
But.
Yeah, he's my favorite X-Men.
Does anybody remember what movie?
He's my favorite character from all the X-Men.
We're talking about the Little Mermaid.
I can't even argue that. I can't hate him that big. All right, so Little Mermaid.
Okay, so Little Mermaid, it was one of those movies, like as Stephanie said, it was that movie that when I was homesick from school, I would watch it all day, 3-4 times a day until it was time to go to bed. Like, that was the movie that I drove my parents crazy with. And I can still watch it. I can watch it repeatedly now as an adult. I just love it. I love the music. I love Under the Sea, Kiss the Girl, Part of Your World. All the songs. I love all the songs.
It holds up incredibly well.
I completely agree. And it was the last movie, I think, that Disney made before they started using like CGI to help with the animation, like
with any computer imaging,
not like CGI as we know it now.
Right? No, I know what you mean. Like, but
to animate,
I'm trying to because the one that followed it was Rescuers Down Under, and I'm not sure if
that's
used
not the one I followed
either.
No. Yes, it is.
It is. I thought it was Beauty and the Beast.
It's Beauty and the Beast.
Pretty sure it's Beauty and the Beast.
Can you fact check?
I'm going to fact check that right now, but Rescuers is right around there.
Right.
It's either right before or right after.
I like Rescuers Down Under too. I like that.
Yeah.
Golden Eagle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that Beauty and the Beast definitely
Beauty
does
the Beast
use
it for
CGI.
The ballroom scene.
For the ballroom scene. Yeah.
Aladdin used it for the
carpet
and the Cave of Wonders.
Yeah. When it's melting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I don't like now about The Little Mermaid, when they re-released it on Blu-ray, they did go back in and like CGI
they
some
added
of the
stuff.
Scenes,
yeah.
And I hate it.
And well, hopefully, when it gets its Disney Signature Collection release in a couple years,
they'll fix it.
They'll go
but
back.
But I
and
really
fix it.
Hate it. Like the scene where Scuttle wakes her up, like when she's already in the castle, and Scuttle wakes her up to tell her, like, "Oh, the prince is finally getting
David,
married."
You are
and
correct.
She,
yeah, I know I am.
Is right after, and then it's Beauty and the Beast.
I don't remember.
I'll accept that apology.
And then before
whenever
Little
you guys
Mermaid,
want.
It was Oliver and Company for anybody that.
Well,
cares.
I
and before Oliver and
I
Company
didn't say, fuck
was
you, you're an asshole, you're wrong.
The Great Mouse Detective.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. I don't care.
Those movies didn't come out in the movie theater.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did. Of course, they did.
100%.
What?
Yeah.
Great Mouse Detective got its wide release on July 2nd, 1986.
Great Mouse Detective saved Disney.
Great Mouse Detective
is the beginning
of the Renaissance.
Hey, the unofficial beginning of the Renaissance.
Yeah.
They were in the red after Black Cauldron, which was a flop.
Mm-hmm.
And they went back to basics with the Great Mouse Detective, and it actually turned a profit. They were back in the black, and that allowed them to do Oliver and Company, which in turn also made money again. And that's the one that started that trend of having some sort of big name, you know, musician come in and do the music for the movie.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Vanessa, I almost put this because of all the Disney movies, it's probably the one I've seen the most, including my favorite one. It's not my favorite, but I decided not to put Disney movies on my list because
The Robinsons.
I decided not
to. Stop trying to make the Robinsons a thing.
I wasn't even going to say that.
I know, I'm just fucking with you.
I decided not to put any Disney movies on my mountain because I could have just done this as a Disney mountain. So
that's very possible.
Definitely easy.
Yeah. So I just decided to just leave. I believe that when it comes to Disney, it should be its own category sometimes. So and this should be one of those times. So.
You're one of those people that like to segregate things, huh? Okay, sure. Make movies great again.
Sure. Whatever you say, bro.
So The Little Mermaid is my number 4.
And number 4.
Ursula's awesome.
Ursula's awesome.
God, it's getting close to my turn, and I don't know which pick.
I'm actually
gonna.
It's
like when the waiter's taking all the orders, and you still haven't decided.
Oh shit!
We said we were ready. We said we were ready. Do him.
Pressure.
2 minutes, please. 2 minutes.
I am actually gonna audible my 3 and 4.
I really don't know what to pick.
And so my number 4.
So you're switching positions?
Right.
Is that
what you're
doing?
Okay. Yeah, my number 4 is the Birdcage.
Table.
It's a good one.
Bird.
Nary, it's your turn.
No, he's got to talk about the Birdcage.
She said table.
Oh, fucking son of a
bitch. Look at that, David. She invokes the right of table.
Man, I don't know.
Just pick one. Go with your gut, bro.
Follow your heart.
All right. I'm going to. She wants you to give her water, David.
Is she thirsty? That's what she does when she wants either food or water. She just stares at you and then makes that.
We can't. We don't give them both at the same time because we've heard that it turns their stomachs.
Really?
Dogs have a. It's usually with big dogs, like Great Danes, suffer from this when you feed them
and they
drink water at the same time too fast.
Let's learn about
They literally their stomach will flop.
It's lopsided. Yeah,
they'll flip in their bodies, and that would kill them.
Whoa. It's called bloat.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
It's called bloat. So we purposely don't. Not that they're big dogs, but we purposely don't feed them. And
give better
them
water safe at the same than sorry.
Time. Right. Of course. All right, man. Listen.
Do it.
Alright. I'm gonna go the tiebreaker here because I have 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7. The tiebreaker here, I'm just gonna go with movies that I've seen the most. Contrary to what I said 10 minutes ago when I said which movies are more rewatchable, because all these movies are the same as far as rewatchability in my eyes. There's no clear cut winner. Just, so I'm gonna go with
like
movies.
Better.
No? I'm going to go with movies that I can't decide that because that's like picking between my children. I will go with the movies that I've seen the most as a tiebreaker because those are facts.
Okay,
those are
fair
numbers.
Enough.
That's so my number 4 would be Batman vs. Superman Ultimate Edition. I have seen that movie. It's been out for a little over a year, including its theatrical release. I saw it 4 times in the theater, and I have probably seen it without exaggeration.
There's a way to check.
There's a way to check. I don't think this one has Batman vs. Superman, though, for some reason. Oh, man. Let's see. Hold on. I'm going through my iTunes to see if I can... Why is it not going there? Oh. See, look, this one doesn't even show
it
that.
It doesn't have the count.
It doesn't have the count. So
it's not perfect.
Yeah, I don't know how that would be possible because I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I literally saw it twice a weekend that came out on digital format. So without exaggeration, I've probably seen Batman vs. Superman 3 times in a movie theater for a fact. I know that. And I've probably seen it 4 or 5 times since then. Mm-hmm. Probably 6 times since then. Yeah, it's been out in the movie. It's been out on digital for a year. So
I absolutely love this, and it on my mountain of live action superhero movies, this probably makes it. Without giving it too much thought, I'm almost certain it makes it. The only reason why it wouldn't make my list is because one of the things that I mentioned at I it's so long, and I think it needs to be long. It needs to have those 3 hours
to really.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a work of art, in my opinion.
I agree.
But it's also very dark, and that's those two things are two things that for me bring its watchability level down, though not necessarily affecting the movie itself negatively, because I absolutely love this movie.
You know, I've realized that in my list of 7 picks to choose from, I only have one that's a comedy. And it probably will not make my mountain. What?
We called it stuff, and we said that the mountain was either going to be all comedies or comedies and action movies. Like, ours were pretty much all comedies, and that yours would be both.
I'm just not, but that's, yeah, most movies I love are not comedies.
See, we know.
Which is weird because I'm a comedian. So Batman vs. Superman, I've talked at nauseam mm-hmm. on this podcast multiple times about this movie, so I think I'll save everybody the trouble saying I love this movie, and okay. that's it. All right, number threes.
My number three is The Princess Bride.
Table.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is why we can't have married couples on this fucking
on this why? Podcast.
Because there's going to be a lot of tabling. It's going to be a lot of tabling going
well,
on.
I mean,
I seriously doubt that any of my other picks are going to be tabled.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, but in that sense,
it's totally joking, honey. Dave, my wife and I are married too.
David didn't like The Princess Bride that much until I came into his life. Just like with another one on my list.
Okay, Scotto. We'll table that. All right.
Just like another one on my list. That is a baseless accusation. And then I came into your life, and you're like, I forgot about this movie. But whatever, we'll talk. We'll cross that bridge.
You also came into his life, you know, when he was five. So I mean,
you're so full of shit.
You're full of shit.
Dave's anger and Dave's anger.
We'll talk about this at home.
Dave's Dave's anger and horniness are fighting each other.
What anger, he's like, and what?
Horniness.
Oh. It's like, am I more angry than I am horny? Because I really want to get laid tonight, but I really want to call her a fucking lying bitch. So these things are... I can do both. which one would it be? All right. So we're tabling Princess Bride.
Yes.
Vanessa.
Okay, so I'm just going to eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Pick a tiger. Let's go.
I'm going to say Bridesmaids is my number three.
I like Bridesmaids. That's like a great pick. Great pick, babe.
Thanks.
Bridesmaids.
So that movie came out when we were newly engaged.
Right.
So.
Was that 2010, right?
11.
2011?
Yeah.
So no, 2010. Oh, 2011. No, yeah.
So it spoke to me on like a bride level, and it was just it was funny. Like, it was one of those, there's not a lot of girl centered comedy movies. There are now,
but at that time,
there really wasn't. That wasn't like a high school movie, right. Or like a spoof kind of movie or anything. So it was good. And it's Melissa McCarthy and
breakout role.
Yeah. Is it a breakout role?
As much as everybody knew her from TV
Mike
show.
And Mike and Molly?
Well, no, from the... I was going to say the other one.
Oh, from Gilmore Girls?
From Gilmore Girls. This made her a star.
This
made her a star to the point that Billy Gurdell, who plays Mike in Mike and Molly, when it came time to re-up their contracts, both of them were at the same... They were, you know, when they got Mike and Molly the show, both of them were on the same level of... They both got the same paid, the same exact amount of money. Bridesmaids came out and it made her such a huge star.
She had to renegotiate?
No. They both, because they're friends, they both said, we're going to do it together. So when the contract was up, they went to go renegotiate to re-up their contracts. And Billy Gurdell's agent famously sat there next to Melissa McCarthy's agent and said, we'll have what they're having. Because that's it. You just have to. We're just gonna go ahead and whatever you give them, that's what we're gonna take too. And because that's how big of a star it made her. I mean,
I believe you. She's in like everything. I believe you.
Yeah. So it's a fun. This movie, I have argued with my dumb caveman friends saying that Bridesmaids
is being nice.
Caveman friends saying that this movie is by far, not even close, funnier than The Hangover. Like, not even close. It's not even close for me how funny this fucking movie is. That scene of them getting trying on dresses.
Getting sick.
That's the only scene in the movie I really like.
Caveman friend.
Yeah.
Like I said. Dislike of Melissa McCarthy is very well documented on this podcast. I don't find her funny. I wish I did.
Yeah, she's...
It's my loss. I know it's my loss.
No, I get it. I mean, you know...
But I also don't like Kristen Wiig, and those are the two, and those are the two main in characters in that movie.
In that scene...
When she gets drunk on the plane.
No, when she gets... When she has the food poisoning, but she doesn't want to admit that she has food poisoning. I'm fine. And she's like, really? So you just... And she's just sitting there... Fucking
like sweating
profusely and losing her shit quite literally.
You heard that, right?
Yeah, I heard it too.
Okay.
What
was that?
Oliver.
Oh, this is our daughter.
Excuse me.
Pause. He has food poisoning.
Is that where we stopped?
And yes, that's where we stopped.
We stopped at food poisoning.
And Oliver was crying.
Okay. And Oliver was crying.
So
I did a lot for women. You were saying that we got cut off.
I don't think that part got what David said.
Yeah, I think that this what this movie did for women in film, and particularly women in comedies, is much more important than how good the movie is.
And the movie's great.
Yeah.
I would like to give it a second shot. I am always down to give movies a second shot or a third shot or a fourth shot. You never know. But I don't know.
I think you should give it another shot. And I agree with what you're saying. But mm-hmm. I also like the movie. And I know you don't. But I like the movie. I like... I don't know if it was before the break or after or when we were recording and not recording. That I said I like the story arc of the girls' friendship of Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig.
Mm-hmm.
How they're best friends. Awesome. They're best friends at the beginning. You know, Kristen Wiig is the maid of honor, and then, you know, she's having a hard time in her life, and then here comes this like perfectly polished new friend that is doing everything for her friend that she wishes she could do, and just like watching the jealousy and watching them fight and like fall apart, and then at the end of the day, just like brushing all of that away to be there for your friend. I like that. I like that story.
Yeah.
Warmed my heart. I know Stephanie doesn't understand that feeling, but it warmed my heart.
No, but the lithium ion cell in her that needs to be recharged it does the reverse thing. When the battery starts to heat up, it becomes malleable and explodes.
Right. Her computer fan cooled it down. It's fine. She's good.
Thanks, guys.
Her operating system has allowed her to smirk.
Yes.
All right. Great choice, babe. I love that movie a lot. And I've only seen it twice, and it's but I like that movie. Oh, Lord. Bridesmaids. All right, so we had Princess Bride. We had Bridesmaids. David.
My number three is...
Made me feel so good. Made me feel so good.
My number three is a movie that I have seen more times than I can count. And is the first of three action-adventure comedies.
Ugh.
Remaining on my list. and that is The Goonies.
Oh.
This
movie you've seen more than any other movie ever?
No, not ever.
I thought you said that.
No. I said I couldn't count how many times I've seen this movie. No, there are movies I've seen more than it. My number one for sure. I saw this movie again last night.
I don't think I've ever seen this.
Yeah, I never seen it in its entirety, not from front to end. I've probably seen the movie.
Seen it from back to front?
And the most recently, maybe like 2 months ago, I saw like the last 40 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get it. I don't get the love for it. Maybe because I didn't see it as a kid.
That might have something to do with it.
And I think that if I'm a kid watching this movie about other kids going on an adventure, that's my... be cool as shit, but I just watching it now, I'm like, I don't quite get it.
It I obviously saw it many more times, or not many more times, but much more frequently as a child. I would watch it like almost every week. Like it was on repeat. That VHS tape is destroyed. Just absolutely destroyed.
That's how my little memory tape is.
It's a VHS tape.
Right. that magnetic strip, I mean, I don't know that there's any images left on it, you know? And I bought it on DVD as soon as it was brought out on DVD in the late 90s or early 2000s. And actually, I just bought it on iTunes last week, you know, because I've gotten so lazy, I don't want to pop in discs anymore.
Yeah,
you
who
know?
Does that?
So I was like, you know, fuck it, man. It's been it had been maybe a year or two since I had seen Goonies. It's like, fuck, man, I'm gonna pop it in. I really want Link to watch it. And he didn't sit through all of it. He rarely does on the first watch.
He came to watch Harry Potter with me.
Yeah. You also happened to be in bed, and he was tired. But he loved what he saw, man. He loved it. Everything about this movie is what I look for in a movie that is, you know, quote unquote, rewatchable.
Right.
There's lots of humor. There's great swashbuckling adventure. It's fairly lighthearted. You've got a great villain. With villains, with the Fratellis, Mama Fratelli, and I always forget that woman's name, but God, she was such an incredible actress.
She looks like somebody
that
should be thrown off a train,
right? Like maybe someone's mama,
right?
Who should be thrown off a train?
Exactly.
That's another fucking awesome movie, man. I love that. Billy Crystal.
Yeah, I love Billy.
Danny DeVito. I don't know. It gets much better than that.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree. But yeah,
Rock, Mark Wahlberg, whatever, that's fine.
I mean, and it's just like one pitfall after another, and they keep going, and then the message of the movie too, like as a kid, you know, the fact that it's another group of kids that are accomplishing something, and something impossible, something that no one else was able to do. Not even you know, the experts were able to get as far as they do, you know. And that's that when Mikey says that, you know, when they get to the fountain, the wishing fountain, and he says, guys, you know, Chester Copperpot, he was an expert and he didn't make it as far as us. That's what drives them to keep going, you know. And that's where he does the, you know, never say die. Goonies, never say die. You know, up there, it's their time, but you know, down here, it's our time. It's such a heartfelt speech, you know. And it's certainly not as grandiose as you know, some of these, you know, big rallying speeches that you hear like in Independence Day or something like that. But fuck, man, it gets me every time, you know. And I didn't have a whole lot of friends when I was young.
Your story
I was not popular, right? I had a birthday party where not one of my friends showed up. Not one of the people I invited showed up.
Not one.
Family showed up, you know. Wow. And I had to seek solace in that, you know. And so I identified
that is
with
so sad.
I identified
it hurts
with
my feelings,
I
man.
Yeah, it was hurtful, you know. So I identified with the Goonies, these outcasts, you know. When I got into middle school and I found the group of friends that that are still my friends today, you know, that was so meaningful. It was so impactful. And I started rewatching Goonies in a completely different light because
how
of
cool
that.
Is this though? The fact that our kids are friends, they'll never go through that.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
That's awesome, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff's kids will never show up, but
oh my God.
That's not nice.
They didn't go. They didn't
he
go to Link. I know.
Sick.
It's a joke. It's just a joke. I guarantee you Jeff
the
is laughing right now.
Defending the baby.
I guarantee
well,
you
Christy
Jeff
is
laughing
trying
right
to
now.
Punch you through the radio.
Yeah.
Oh my
punch
God.
Punch him, Chrissy.
Hit him.
She's still twisting knobs. She doesn't know what's happening right now.
How do you switch the dial from the FM back to the AM?
Said the one who always makes fun of Christy.
On my own podcast, not when she's not here to defend herself.
She never defends herself, but it's true. You're right. Shame on you, boys.
She can't
but
even
those
hear
walkers,
this.
Those walkers are really
she can't
good
even hear this.
To keeping people off, can't even off your lawn.
They're not making it better.
Terrible. Terrible.
Man,
terrible.
Terrible. The cast is incredible, you know. So
Uncle Crab. Sorry.
The fuck was that?
Oh, Crab.
Sorry, I was thinking of The Incredibles, and then went Bon Voyage. Yeah, Uncle Crab.
yeah, man. I love this movie. I absolutely love this movie. I will defend this movie.
I don't think it needs defending.
There's people who don't get it.
I don't get it, but because I didn't watch it as a kid.
I agree with you. I've never seen it, so I'm really not listening.
It's in the family share, and Vanessa, you really need to watch this.
I didn't watch Cooney.
I needed to watch
Never Ending Story.
No. You really need to watch this.
I fell asleep. That should have given you a sign that you should stop watching this movie.
There are some movies that if you don't see as a kid, you don't like understand the magic behind them, and this is definitely one of them because I didn't see it till I was like 16. At that point, I was just
when
like,
we started dating.
It's past
right,
year.
And at that point, I'm just like, well,
you're not the target audience.
It's
anymore.
A good movie.
It was. Listen, I care about this movie so much that when we first started dating, like I went through a list of movies. Like, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Have you seen this? And I had to make sure that she saw this movie. Like, it is that meaningful to me.
And that's fine.
I'm so jealous of this guy's tattoo. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's fine.
Vanessa just showed me.
Oh my God, that's gorgeous.
That is, and that's a picture of a dick, but the tattoo is amazing too.
I will agree with that. I think that.
Oh, but you made it funny.
If you don't see it as a kid, there is something that is lost on you. But even aside from that, there are a lot of movies that are not like.
What movie did I not watch as a kid that I thought was? She didn't watch Princess Bride as a kid, and I showed her that movie. Within the last year or two,
well, but here,
and she thought it was amazing.
I agree, and I think that about Goonies. I think that if you watch Goonies as an adult, like, listen, my parents watched Goonies as an adult. You know, they watched it as adults, and they love Goonies. You know, it's because of them and my grandparents that because the movie came out 2 years before I was born. You know. But it was on constant repeat in my house, and you know, partly
Chrissy saw it after her prom.
You might be right.
Stop.
Actually.
Stop.
Wait,
that's not even that old.
Listen, you don't need to be a kid to appreciate this movie. Will it help? Maybe, but cool.
I've seen the movie.
I love this movie.
I've seen the movie and I don't knock it. That's a great tattoo. I've seen this movie and I don't knock it. It's not like other movies that I'm like, I don't think it's the greatest thing to slice bread like a lot of people do, but I don't knock. I would never say the words like, oh, the Goonies are overrated. I just don't get it. It's just not my cup of tea.
Right.
But I know that I saw it too late, and that's fine. And I still haven't seen it from beginning to end, so there goes that. But there are, you know, there's a lot of other movies that I've told you guys before. I'm like, I think the movie's overrated, and you guys look at me like I have fucking three heads, and I'm like, okay, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But this is not one of them. I agree. I think it's... I could see the movie... If I would have seen it as a kid, I could see this movie being...
It is considered a cult film. That's what Wikipedia classifies it as a cult film. You know, so it didn't do incredibly well in the box office. You know, critically it did well, you know, but not exceptionally well, you know. It's I don't know. I feel like this is one of those movies where you mention it and everyone has heard of the movie, but not everyone has seen the movie. And, you know, those that have seen it, you know,
well, yeah, I've heard of
sometimes
the movie.
They don't get it, you know. I think you're right. Either you get it or you don't get it, and I get it, and I can watch this movie over and over again. I absolutely love this movie.
Mm-hmm. All right, my number three is going to be, I'm calling an audible because I wasn't going to make my list originally, and I don't know. I feel bad. So sorry, man. But I'm going to go with Back to the Future.
Table.
All right.
Lots of tables.
Been three. All right. So.
Yeah, we're only on our second picks.
Yes.
That's a lot of tables.
There's been 12 picks.
I'm proud of the fact that three none of mine have been tabled.
I believe there have been eight, and three of them have.
We're on number twos, no?
Oh, man.
We haven't started our number twos.
Go ahead. Number two.
My number two is The Birdcage, so we can talk about this.
Okay, we can finally talk about it. Okay. Go ahead. You have it higher.
I remember this movie coming out because it came out the same year as my favorite movie of all time. And your face...
I'm just trying to figure out what your favorite movie time is.
And I just remember my parents...
Same year.
I think I've said it before that every Friday my dad would go to Blockbuster and we were allowed to pick a movie and they picked a movie for themselves. And I remember my brother and I watching our movie that we had picked, and they were watching their movie in their room with their door closed, and we...
So they were watching porn.
Sure. No. they were having sex.
And my brother and I had to stop our movie and go knock on their door and tell them to be quiet because they were laughing so hard. And you know, you've been to my house, to my parents' house, that... our bedrooms on the complete opposite side of my parents' bedroom, and we had to go and tell them to be quiet because they were laughing so hard at this movie that they were watching that it was interrupting our movie, and they were watching The Birdcage. So I had, and I was like 12, I'm clearly too young to watch this movie, so I had just remembered that in the back of my head there's only two movies that my parents were so fond of around this time that I kept in the back of my head, like, I need to watch these, like, at some point, like, when my parents aren't around or whatever.
What's your favorite movie? Is it Bicentennial Man?
No. That's absolutely not.
How did you know? You know her so well.
Edward Scissorhands?
Autobiographical movies.
Yes. AI? What
is it? Are you done?
Okay.
So I finally was able to see this movie when I was like 14 or 15. But what the other thing that I remember about this movie is watching the Oscars that year, which was the first year that I really started paying attention to the Oscars. And Robin Williams was nominated for Best Actor in this movie. And I remember the clip that they showed during the Oscars was like the choreography scene where he's like going through the different dance styles. And the first time I saw this movie, I fell in love with it. It's got an amazing cast. It's Robin Williams, Nathan Lane, Hank Azaria, Gene Hackman. And I think Hank Azaria, to me, is such an underrated actor.
He's what I call the scene stealer.
Yes, 100%.
Every single scene
that he's in, especially in this movie, like
him walking
in the pink thong,
just in shoes.
Yeah,
him walking with shoes.
It's the shoes.
It's the shoe. I mean, just that. And you go,
my Guatemalanness.
My natural heat.
This is another movie that we quote to each other constantly in regular everyday conversation.
There's a very good chance.
Anytime
that
I eat shrimp, and my book. But what about the shrimps?
There's a very good chance that after you and I have finished having sex, I will turn over to you and I will say, the money's on the dresser, chocolate.
Yes.
Romantic.
One of the funniest scenes.
Sorry I complain about the things you tell me.
One of the funniest things to me about this movie, and I rewatched it recently within the last year, and I didn't find it as funny as I used to. I used to love this movie way more than I do now. Not taking anything away from it, I just don't. The jokes don't land the same way, but
I think they're
but with that said, new jokes that I didn't know were there before. I'm now discovering new jokes, like when he's walking like John Wayne.
That's one of the best lines.
Not good. And he goes, "No, that was actually exactly what
I just never realized."
John Wayne walked that way. Yeah.
That to me was I never laughed at that for years. I watched the movie for years when it came out, and I never laughed at that. And now rewatching it a year ago, I'm like, oh fuck, that's funny. Like, God, like it got me so much. It was like, that's a good line.
That whole scene where he's showing him men don't dab.
They smear.
They smear. They smear, and then he breaks his.
I can't get hysterical. I can always just order more toast.
And I think it's hilarious, and it's funny. Let me rephrase. It's funny, but here's the part that gets me about this movie. Now watching it is, he's such a dick to his son.
Yeah,
and I hate.
But
I
the
get
son
it.
Is making a super dick request.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm sorry.
The
that's
son
what I
is
meant.
A dick.
Yeah,
the son's
yeah.
A dick.
The son is such a dick that I'm like, this. The whole movie is based upon gay men raising children the right way and about like it's again, it's not heavy-handed,
right?
And it's not heavy-handed in this message, and but the message is there. The message is I'm a gay man, but I raised this child and I raised him right, and the son is proving otherwise,
right?
Against everything that we have come to in the first 20 minutes of the movie know about Robin Williams as a father. He's a good father.
Yeah.
And again, we learned that quickly and we believe that immediately. Maybe it's because of Robin Williams. Maybe because as an audience, we love Robin Williams. But his son, the shit that his son is requesting, I'm like, you're a dick.
See, I
find it hard to believe that
you also need to keep in mind that this is based off of a play from like the 70s, I want to say. I don't remember the year that Le Cage Fall. It's based off a French movie and a play. So this is like the whole.
So this is a remake?
Yeah. It was on the Regents list. I think it was on someone's list.
So would this be a remake that you like better than the original?
I've never said that. That's him, bro. No,
you said that an hour ago in my dining room. You said remakes are never better than the original.
He doesn't think remakes are better than the original.
I gave him two.
I gave him two
that I prefer.
Conan. And RoboCop.
Terminator.
That's right, you did. Terminator, as we all know, is a remake
from the
1927... Man Who Terminates.
Another great scene is just that opening scene where they're trying to get Albert out of the dressing room, and she's having the first scene, and he's asked Hank Azaria, he has Agador for his purine tablets.
Oh, that's the best.
What are you doing giving her drugs?
It's an aspirin with the A and the S scraped off.
He just scrapes off the A and the S. It's fantastic.
Look at what you've made me.
Here's the thing.
I made you short.
I made you fat.
I made you fat.
In the last 10 years, I've yo-yoed from a 6 to a 12, back to a 6. Yes. This movie's fucking great. I love this movie so much. This is one of those movies that if it is on TV, like it's on TBS a lot, like on just
really?
Like, yeah, it's edited, but
really
even the edited version I'll sit down and watch it.
I have never watched this movie on TV, not since it came out, you know, forever ago.
Mm-hmm. Steph, you know what it is that when it was on, and it wasn't on often, we would record it, and it was constantly on our DVR.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Yeah. But this is one where I bought on iTunes not too long ago.
Because it was on Netflix for a while too.
It was always around somewhere. Mm-hmm. But we no longer have
over
cable.
The rainbow.
We no longer have cable, so we lost everything that was on our DVR. You know, we lost the DVR.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought it on iTunes, and fuck, that is probably the best $15 I've ever spent on iTunes, because you and I have rewatched that movie so many times.
I know, we really have.
Yeah.
I love this movie. It's a great movie. So there you go.
Okay.
Vanessa.
Okay. Oh.
Vanessa.
Okay. So my number two is Bad Moms, and
over.
I told you my list. It really has no order.
Okay.
They can all be swapped or taken out for other things.
Okay.
When you call me in at the last minute, this is the kind of mountain you're gonna get. So I like Bad Moms.
I'm not saying you shouldn't like it. I'm saying over. I wouldn't put it over Bridesmaids. That's.
Well, I'm telling you again.
Right.
It's just.
Right.
It's just. It is okay. What it is. I love the mean girl characters in this movie. Jada Pinkett Smith is my favorite. I think even more so than. What's her face? Why can't I think of people's
Christina
names?
Christina Applegate?
Yes. But I love the tune. Christina Applegate is a crazy bitch, but Jada Pinkett Smith, like, is her little echo in the background, and it's, I don't know, I really like the mean girls in that movie. I love Mila Kunis's character and, like, her band of misfit moms, and I want to be like the misfit moms more than the mean moms, but it was fun.
I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
I got to watch that movie completely by myself because everybody stood me up at the last minute and I went to the movies alone.
I'm sorry.
That's so sad.
It's not sad. I had a great date and I left my debit card, and it was at Cine Bistro, and I left my debit card at home, and then I almost cried in the theater and they gave me my lunch for free. So it was nice. Maybe that's why I like the movie. I had a good experience.
I saw that movie here for the first time on your couch. So
it's a good movie.
I still haven't seen it yet, but I
it's really funny, and they're doing a Bad Moms Christmas. Mm-hmm. I think for next year.
I don't know how I feel about that.
So,
but I hope it's good.
Uh oh,
Ninja.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, Mama.
Sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm. So I really like Bad Moms. I like how Mila Kunis realizes that she doesn't need to do everything for her kids in order for her kids to be happy. And like, something I need to learn. But it's a good movie.
Thanks for ruining it for me.
Just one part of the movie. You'll survive, I promise. The sleeping toddler. She's not a toddler anymore. She's a big kid.
Yeah,
she's a big kid now. Number two, Dave.
My number two, and we can talk about this now, is The Princess Bride.
Yay.
Before we get to the actual movie, I want to know why you think I didn't watch this movie before I met you.
I'm not saying you didn't watch it before.
That's not what she said.
That's not what I said. What I said is you rediscovered it because of me. Just like there's another movie that we're going to talk about soon where it's the same situation.
She's saying that you saw the movie, but you didn't know how much you liked it because you hadn't seen it in a long time until she came along.
Correct.
That's true. It had probably been about 5 years since I had seen the movie.
The thing is that you claim that, and you don't do it with this one. You do it with the other one more. But
no, I don't.
Okay. Sure, Jay.
I really don't. I don't claim to be a super fan of the other one.
Okay.
So anyway,
the other guys with Mark Wahlberg?
Yes, that one.
The Princess Bride is one that, as you pointed out, I watched a lot as a kid, and then as a teenager kind of fell out of it. I don't know if I thought maybe I was too cool to watch it or something like that.
No, I think it's because the format in which you were watching it as a teenager, it wasn't the same. It didn't allow, you know what I mean, lend itself to.
I found that to be very true. That, you know, once kind of DVDs came along, until you replace a VHS tape, you're really not going to watch it again. And that's exactly what happened with Princess Bride. Our VHS tape is, you know, still there at my parents' house. and it was one of the, along with the Goonies, one of the very first DVDs that I bought. There was one summer where, do you remember this, Steph? I saved up a ton of money. I bought a new TV.
That was right before you started dating me.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, yeah, right before I started.
I know the story, but that was right before we started.
Yeah, I saved up like $600 or $700 and I bought, you know, a brand new, you know, what was at the time a big TV for my room.
24 inches.
Actually, it was 42 inches, this TV.
That is big for back then.
It is big for back then. Yeah, I shelled out a lot of money for that TV, and I got I think it was a PlayStation 2, so I had like a nice DVD player, you know, and so I started, you know, going updating my
library,
and Stephanie was the one who was like, when we were exchanging, you know, favorite movies, she brought up The Princess Bride. I hadn't thought about this movie in a long time, maybe 5 years or so, and I was like, oh man, you know what? I used to love this movie, so I went out, I bought the DVD. And
so, Seth, your story checks out.
Thank you.
We've watched this movie a couple times a year.
Yeah.
For the last, 13, 14 years? Mm-hmm. How long have we been together?
It'll be 14 in September.
So, yeah, for the last 14 years, we've seen this movie 3-4 times a year.
It was once or twice. Now it's 3 or 4 times. In another 10 minutes, it'll be 5, 6, 7 times a year.
No, I'm trying to average it out. It's probably 3 or 4 times a year.
Probably. But that's fair.
Maybe it's 2 or 3, not 3 or 4. I don't know, but we watch it multiple times a year.
We do. This movie has such a diverse audience. I've been watching it.
It's a perfect movie. This is one of the few that I like fall under the perfect category. There is something for everyone.
I've been watching this movie literally since I was a year old. When I was 2, my grandmother gave me a puppy for my birthday, and I named it
Buttercup.
Yeah, nice. my puppy's name was Buttercup. So I've been obsessed with this movie since I was younger than Link. This is a movie that I can go line by line reciting.
You okay?
And it's great. I said it earlier a little bit on What's Up when we were recording that. Like, I've had a huge crush on Carrie Elwes my whole life because of this movie.
He's so dreamy.
He is. He's super dreamy, and he's dreamy in everything that he does, and he still looks pretty good for being like 50 or however old he is. This movie is hysterical. There's like so many funny parts.
As You Wish will never mean anything else.
No, never,
other than
ever,
I
ever,
love you.
Ever, ever. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about this. There's the whole thing with like Billy Crystal and his wife.
Oh man.
The sword fight.
Liar!
At the top. Yeah.
Liar.
That's like a gif I use often. Like
Humperdinck, 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 Humperdinck.
Yeah. I mean,
he's not dead. He's only mostly dead.
Yeah.
What do you do when they're all dead? There's only one thing you can do. Check for loose change.
Yeah. Humperdinck's such a douche. Like, of all the douchey, asshole-y characters in cinema, like, he is, like, such a douche.
He is one of the most perfect villains.
He's a fuckboy because he, like, tries to make you think that he, like, cares about you.
And then him and Christopher Guest are so perfectly sinister together. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
And all the stories come in and out, and they weave perfectly together. And the six-fingered man, right?
That's
Christopher Guest.
Yeah.
The whole Inigo Montoya storyline.
We used to do like retreats when we were like in college, and we always had like the little hello stickers. Mm-hmm. And anytime like there's at least one person, usually like five or six, that writes hello, and then like in the little white space where you write your name, it says, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You've killed my father. Prepared to die." Like, what? That's like such an iconic line.
That fight between him and the six-fingered man, where he seems to be dying, right, and then he just gets the will to keep going from somewhere deep inside, the whether it's the hate or the love or whatever it is, right? And you know, he keeps just repeating that line over and over again, and Christopher Guest keeps going, "Shut up, shut up, shut up," and he gets him pinned up in that corner, and he says, you know what do you want? He says, "Tell me you give me money, tell me you give me power." He says, "Everything you want and more." And then he says, "I want my father back, you son of a bitch," and then he skewers him. Oh, it's so fucking perfect. It's awesome.
One of the best lines in that movie, is when she's like, she's in the room and she's gonna like, she's just married Humperdinck and she's like gonna kill herself. He's like sitting on the bed because he's paralyzed.
Yeah.
And he goes, there's a shortage of perfectly good breasts in the world to be ashamed to waste yours.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it is Robin Wright, so...
Yeah, it is Robin. It's her first role. It's like her breakout role.
That meme. Have you seen that meme that's like, "Oh, I've lived long enough to see my two favorite princesses become generals."
Yeah,
so amazing. Yeah. That's awesome.
And I only just discovered them as princesses recently.
Yeah,
both of them.
You did.
And that's followed by the confrontation between Humperdinck.
Oh, when they took to the pain.
Yeah.
Because he's like, "Oh, what, are you going to fight me to the death?" And he goes, "No,
to the pain." He goes, "And then you know, my ears," and then, "Wrong." And he just...
"Your ears you keep, so you can hear the shrieks of children as they press my..."
"My God, what is that freak? What is that thing? Yeah, that horrible freak." And then he says, "You're bluffing." "You're bluffing. You can't even stand." And then he gets up and he points his sword at
him. "Where's the gay key?" "There is no gay key." And then out comes Andre the Giant. "Oh, you mean this gay key?"
"Now, if only we had a Holocaust rope." "You mean like this?"
Yeah. It's a great fucking movie.
I think the line that I say most often from the movie, which can only be said shouting across a room, a hall, or an entire house, "Fezzik, I need you." When Inigo Montoya is running after the six-fingered man and he's locked himself in a room, right?
Yeah.
And, "Fezzik, I need you." And Fezzik is carrying Cary Elwes, which is still like immobile. Like, and he poses him on a knight. On a knight's armor. Yeah, he looks at her, he goes, "Don't go anywhere." And then he comes back and he's fucking gone.
That's
a great, like, oh, there's like God. So many just like little tidbits, like the fucking with Vizzini and like the switching the drinks with the poison,
yeah,
and the whole inconceivable bit that Neri quotes all the time.
Andre the Giant is so awesome in this movie.
Everyone's awesome in this movie.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
Open up. It's the Brood Squad. You are the Brood Squad. No. Oh, no. I'll call the Brood Squad. He says, he's on the Brood Squad. And then he says, you are the Brood Squad.
Yeah.
In a way only Billy Crystal can do.
Yeah. What a great movie.
Fucking love this movie.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's good.
Boo.
It's a good one.
Boo.
I like the
good choice for yours.
Thank you.
My number two, and again, I have now changed everything about my original. look, man, my number two, anybody who knows anything about me, who's listened to any kind of podcast that I've been on, knows my love and affection for the Rocky franchise. It was literally my number one as far as movie franchises were concerned. Hard part is picking one for this list.
Because
I've rewatched every single Rocky, even Rocky V, over 10 times each. Easily.
You've rewatched Rocky V over 10 times?
Easily.
Oh, man.
I've watched it twice. I've watched it twice this year.
Wow.
Yes. I've watched it twice this year.
It's commitment.
I love that movie. I'm not saying it's a good movie.
No, I get you.
I love that movie.
I feel the same way about Crank.
Okay, I don't even know where to go for that.
Weren't you watching that like really recently?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love all the Rocky movies. I love even Rocky V. My wife and I have started watching. She had never seen the Rocky movies, and I showed her 1 and 2, and I think we got to 3. I don't know if we finished 3. Did we finish 3?
I remember.
Okay, and I don't know if we finished 3, but there is a shift change between a character piece movies and run into action, more action based in 3 and 4, and then 5 kind of fell off a little bit, and then Rocky Balboa, which I saw this year again, and then
I like that one,
and then I like that one a lot, and for a long time it was my favorite. But again, it's like picking children, you know. One's your favorite, one that does something good for you, and then you forget about the other ones. so it's hard for me to pick and choose one. My point of saying this is,
you just wanted to be able to talk about all of them before you made your decision.
Before I made my decision. And with all that said, my number two in rewatchable movies is Creed, that I again saw last week. I watch this movie often, and it's fucking glorious. And I think it brought Rocky back into relevance. It told a different story. It told the same story a new way, in a fresh way, and it's
in a modern way,
it's so fucking great.
Yeah. I agree. I really liked.
I fucking love that, everything about him, that Michael B. Jordan played that role so perfectly. He played that I'm angry. He misses his fucking dad. And he's trying to recapture his something that his dad left behind that he never met. It's fucking fantastic, man.
I think it's a good movie because even if you take the Rocky portion out of it, it's still a good movie. Like, it's still a good story. Even if you take all the history of Rocky out and it's just, like, my dad was a boxer, like, the whole Apollo Creed story, it's cool. I think it's a great story.
That's how you know you have a winner in your franchise. Yeah. If it stands on its own.
It does.
And that's what I love about that movie so much is that it stands on its own, that it's its own thing, yet the fact that it does involve so much of the Rocky history, the fact that scene in the restaurant when Rocky first meets Adonis is magic.
Awesome. Yeah.
That it just is caught from the 10th round of the first fight, and he's like, oh, good eye. He's like, oh, wow. And, you know, I heard there was a third fight, a secret fight, and he goes, what? How'd you know about that? It's supposed to be a secret. And like that, I love that. The way Rocky speaks about Apollo Creed, because as a Rocky fan, you learn to, Rocky beat Apollo.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. And when he says, who won that third fight? And he says, he did. And then when he says, how was he? And he goes, who, Apollo?
He's the best.
He's the best. Nobody ever better. A perfect fighter. Mm-hmm. And he says, how'd you beat him? He goes, I didn't beat him. Time beat him. Time beats all of us. you know, time is undefeated. That's
like, oh, it's such a good scene.
Time is undefeated. You go, oh my, it's fucking amazing. I love everything about this movie. When you told me
that this was as good as Rocky One,
yeah,
I said bullshit.
Yeah, and as you should have,
right? Yeah,
rightfully so. You were right. Six months ago,
I watched it finally, and I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but I sat down, I watched this, and said, "Fuck, this might be better than Rocky One."
Yeah, it's really good.
It's so good. I haven't seen it since. But fuck, man. I've wanted to see it since.
I love this movie so much. And again, this goes against, when I'm done with the list, when I give my number one, I'll tell you what my original four off the top of my head were.
Mm-hmm.
And every movie that I've mentioned on this list so far has been like, oh, wait, I forgot that one. Oh, wait, I forgot that one. Oh, wait, I forgot that one. And, but I fucking love this movie so much. Like, it's just everything about this movie. It's the way they shot, the way the director. The fight scene, the first fight scene that Apollo has, that you see him in the ring, the first official fight.
Mm-hmm.
Adonis, I'm sorry. He had a sparring scene. All in one take.
Yeah.
All in one take. The camera followed them the whole time. It was all in one take. Beautifully done.
Coogan, right? Steve Coogan? That's the...
The fighter was Coogan, yeah. It was the Coogan fight.
Mm-hmm.
Coughlin. The Coughlin fight, whatever.
No, the director, isn't it Coogan?
Oh, his name? Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought it was because it is a Coughlin fight that he fights,
mm-hmm,
in all in one take. Yes, I want to say, I'm not sure.
I think it's Coogan. Not I think sure. That's his. He's the guy who's directing Black Panther now.
Yeah, black guy, right?
Ese mismo.
Ese mismo. Bien conocido. No, he's really not. Yeah, it's what's his name? What is his name? Good God. Ryan Coogler. Coogler.
Right. Okay. Who's Steve Coogan?
An actor.
Tu tío.
Oh, he's the English guy from Hamlet 2.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So Creed, not to wax poetically too long because we're running late, but I fucking love Creed. I love
awesome.
Him.
Awesome.
I got a lot of shit on the podcast normal show when I said Creed for this topic, and he said, "You're fucking crazy." I'm like, okay. Sure, man. I don't know what to tell you. Love this movie.
Well, I'm backing you up, man.
Thanks, man. All right, so that's my number two. What's your number one, Steph?
Wait, honorable mentions.
Right, we got to do a bunch of shit, bro.
Okay, I'll read.
Bro, a bunch of shit. Honorable mentions, and then what?
I'll read. That's it. Just a
I've got a bunch on my page, too.
I'll read my page.
All right, I'll read the Geekmore ones. I'll go first. Michael Ortiz says, The Godfather, The Sandlot, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and The Untouchables. Sandlot is another one of those movies that I watched a lot as a kid.
Yeah,
yep.
Jemiah Leonard says, number four, Scarface, number three, Rocky, number two, Black Hawk Down, number one, Shawshank.
Solid fucking list.
That's a fucking intense movie to rewatch, man. And I love it. Awesome. But
honorable mentions.
Movie.
Yeah. Honorable mentions, he says.
I've seen Shawshank over 10 times.
All of America.
Oh, I believe it. It's always on TV.
Yeah, it is. For his honorable mentions, he has Lethal Weapon, any of them.
That's right.
T2, yeah. The Dark Knight, Good Will Hunting, Jason Bourne series, and Have Plenty. I don't know what that last one is. Carlos Navarrete says, number four, Back to the Future, number three, The Godfather, number two, Kill Bill, Volume 1 and 2, number one, Terminator.
Nope.
He's got to pick one.
He's got to pick one.
And the right answer is Volume 1.
But he says Kill Bill is one movie.
Yes, and Kill Bill 2 is the other movie. So.
And then his honorable mentions are Batman vs. Superman, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh, Ultimate Edition, excuse me. Batman vs. Superman, Ultimate Edition. Raiders of the Lost Ark and The Departed. Liana Cintrón, the Aviator, Rocky, Return of the Jedi, and Kung Fu Hustle.
Kung Fu Hustle?
Really?
That's what she wrote.
Okay.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion, even if they're wrong.
Thank you for sending in your list. Yeah. Let's be nice to people, shall we? Alex Suarez says Ghostbusters, Star Wars, Back to the Future, and Jaws. Honorable mentions, Indiana Jones, Catch Me If You Can.
Does he like anything that Spielberg didn't do?
No, I like
Indiana
this guy.
Jones, Catch Me If You Can, The Dark Knight, and Goldfinger.
It's only Spielberg movies in his list. Yeah. Listen to him.
This could have been a Spielberg mountain.
Spielberg,
no.
Okay, there you go. He has one.
That's an honorable mention.
Okay, he took the time to write it.
Okay.
Omar Delgado says Empire Strikes Back, number 4. Father of the Bride, number 3.
Oh, that's a good one.
Sandlot, number 2. And Back to the Future 2, I think, is his number 1.
If I know Omar, it probably is number 2.
Because he wrote, there's two twos next to each other.
Yeah, it's Back to the Future
2. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Back to the Future 2 is his number 1.
Thanks, Omar.
Actually, his list has 5 movies.
Is one an honorable mention?
No.
No, it just says 5.
It says number 5.
Retreat.
It says 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
All right, 5 gets booted off. Right. What was number 5?
5 could be his honorable mention. Couples retreat. That'll be his honorable mention.
Honorable mention. What the fuck, dude?
And that shouldn't even be honorable.
Just a mention.
Also mentioned. That should be an AM. Also mentioned.
Andres Viano says Avenger, Friday, Step Brothers, Guardians of the Galaxy. I feel like I skipped something.
No, you did, because he changed. Later on, he replaced.
But then he says, I'll replace Avengers for Jurassic Park and put Avengers on my honorable mention. No, I skipped somebody on the list. Benjamin Boyd. Boyd? Boyte? Boyd?
I think it's Boyd.
Yeah. Says Halloween 78, Jurassic Park, Terminator 2, Jaws, honorable mention, Terminator, Batman Begins, Iron Man, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and Alien.
What a fantastic fucking list. What a fantastic. Yeah. I think that's my favorite list so far.
I hang out with him.
Yeah.
Dario Navarro says Coming to America, Casino, Pulp Fiction, and Clue.
It's another good
aside
one.
From Clue, everything else is fucking amazing.
Clue's good, but it doesn't fit with the rest of that list.
Oh, Coming to America, man. That's fucking great.
I love Coming to America.
But it fits with Clue.
Does it?
They're both comedies.
Yeah, I guess so.
And the last one, Alf says Back to the Future 2, Die Hard, Spaceballs, and TMNT 2. Honorable mention, Black Hawk Down, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Last Action Hero.
Oh, Last Action Hero is good.
So thank you,
Last Action Hero.
Geekmore fans.
I like Last Action Hero.
For commenting on the post.
what do you have, Dave?
Okay. Blanca Doreste gives Goonies, Home Alone, Beetlejuice, and Kill Bill. Jessica Fresneta gives Kingsman, Karate Kid, Wedding Crashers. I knew Karate Kid was going to be on her. She loves that movie. Wedding Crashers and The Notebook. The original one.
Both of them are fucking amazing.
They are.
I haven't seen the new one, but...
The new one is good.
It's in the family share.
That's my sister-in-law's now, and it's her favorite movie of all time, is Karate Kid.
And you know what? I love her. She's married, you said? God damn it.
She's married to my brother, yes. And you're married too, by the way.
All the good ones are taken.
Jessica Jane Storm says, The Princess Bride, Forrest Gump, Big Fish, and Jurassic Park.
Big Fish. Good for you.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
I would say my daughter has made me watch that movie 2 or 3 times.
Mm-hmm. More than 2 or 3 times.
And I think about 2 or 3 times. Mm. Hence my statement. She's made me watch that movie 2 or 3 times.
Quit with your logic, man.
And I love that movie.
The end of that movie is a tearjerker. Yeah. It gets me every time.
I love the fact that she gets it. She was 5 years old. She saw that movie and she said, Papi, he was a fish. That's why he always drinks water. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, he is.
There you go. David Recio says, Matrix, pick one. So I'll go ahead and pick the only good one, the first one.
we'll go ahead and pick Matrix and leave the garbage right where it belongs.
The 300, I'm going to assume, is 300. Forrest Gump, anything with Tom Hanks, but you said Forrest Gump, so we'll go with Forrest Gump. And he says, recently, The Legend of Tarzan. LOL. Not sure why you have to laugh for that. I like The Legend of Tarzan.
Not rewatchable.
I haven't seen it again. I mean, but it was good.
And not only that, but the rest of your list, one of these things is not like the other. And it's The Legend of Tarzan. And I like The Legend of Tarzan.
I just don't want
this list.
It's not anywhere near the quality of the other ones.
And not anywhere near rewatchable as the other ones.
Right.
Forget about the goodness.
Forrest Gump is probably the most rewatchable out of those. For me.
What do you say, Forrest Gump?
Forrest Gump, 300, Matrix.
300, bro.
300 is pretty watchable, man. Yeah.
Just saw it again like a month ago on a cruise ship.
It's so good.
It was one of those things where I turned on the TV and I was planning on just being on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'll just set my phone down.
Yeah.
Just watch this shit right here. There you go.
Manette Perdomo says Dirty Dancing, Meet the Parents.
Which one? The one that just came out?
I'm assuming she means the original.
No, I think she means the ones that just came out.
That one, no. Nobody watches that movie.
You watched it.
We watched it
because of Missy, and this takes away one of her cool points because she made me watch that piece of shit hot garbage.
And then she didn't watch it with us.
And she didn't even fucking watch.
And you kept watching.
Yes, we kept watching.
It was like a train wreck. You couldn't look away from it.
Our Twitter was on fire, and we had to keep tweeting. You should go back, Twitter people, and read our Mamas and Merlot Twitter feed. It's MOMMASANDMERLOT.
So Minette Perdomo had Dirty Dancing. You can decide which one that is.
I say 2017. Either that or Havana Nights.
Havana Nights is 1,000 times better than the new one.
I haven't seen it.
You're not missing much.
Yeah. You don't need to. It's fine.
As what's his name?
Think of a piece of dog poop on fire.
Yeah.
And it's more entertaining.
Than Havana Nights?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He called the shit poo.
No. All right.
Nobody?
Meet Abby
Gilmore, man. He called the shit poo. And he lit the shit off the old man. He goes, there's poop again. There's poop on my boots. He goes, he called the shit poo.
Meet the Parents 1 and 2.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
What the fuck is wrong with people, man?
I'm going to go ahead and say 1, because 1 is better.
We say Meet the Parents?
Yeah.
That shouldn't even make this mountain, man.
Well, she didn't say Meet the Parents and not Meet the Fockers.
Yeah, all right? That's a good point.
And she says 1 and 2.
This shouldn't make this list.
Meet the Fockers is great. You shut your mouth.
It's her list. Déjala.
Okay. Wedding Crashers, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And then she says, have to add one more. You don't have to. I just want to let you know. So we're going to make this an honorable mention, The Shawshank Redemption.
Okay, one of these things is not like the other. And guess which one it is?
It is Meet the Parents.
Yes.
And Dirty Dancing.
No, even Dirty Dancing. No, I'll take the original Dirty Dancing.
Shut your whore mouth.
The original, first of all, it's not good, but it's rewatchable.
Okay.
But the rest of this movie, the rest of this list, Meet the Parents? Come on, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, the rest of this list is really good.
Yeah. Right.
Bob Limfors says Mad Max Fury Road, Midnight Run, Apocalypse Now, and A Fish Called Wanda.
Apocalypse Now? You're going to rewatch Apocalypse Now?
That might be my favorite list so far. Fury Road, and then this one. Bob, that's an awesome fucking list.
Apocalypse Now? You're going to rewatch that movie? Fury Road, nominated for Best Picture? Hold on. Yeah, it was.
Still garbage.
Yeah, we didn't like it.
It was fucking
I haven't seen any of those movies. I didn't get the
You are supposed to watch the whole series with me. That was a promise you made to me.
Yeah, well,
Why would you do that to yourself?
It's a thing that we do. We promise each other we're going to watch stuff. I'm with you. No.
That's the thing you do. I always watch whatever you want me to watch with you. I follow through on that.
When have we seen Moulin Rouge?
When have you said, hey, that's what we're going to watch now?
Tomorrow. That's my argument to you all the time. It's like, oh, you say you're going to watch this with me. I'm like, you never bring it up. You always want to watch something else.
You haven't seen Moulin Rouge?
I have seen it.
I did not like it.
So what's the argument here? He saw it.
She wants me to rewatch it before we started dating. No, you think his taste changed now because he started dating you?
It's
Steph, not like his we saw this after palette. You were the one who were like, oh my god, you need to watch this movie.
Which I did not like.
And then like a couple of months ago when you bought it for me, you said, you know what, I need to give this movie another shot. Because you said you were going to give all of Baz Luhrmann's movie another shot, and you gave Romeo and Juliet another shot, and you liked it a lot.
I didn't say I liked it a lot. I said
you liked it more than you originally.
I said I liked it more than
you
I originally
like
thought.
You like Romeo and Juliet?
No.
What's wrong with you?
Eh, it was all right.
Oh, man.
It's better than all right.
It's better than all right, but it's not much better. Anyway, I understand what you're saying. For me, Apocalypse Now is not one of these movies that is super rewatchable.
You just said that you don't like dark movies because they put you in a dark place.
I personally...
Which included Batman vs. Superman. And Batman vs. Superman, Apocalypse Now makes Batman vs. Superman look like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, and fucking, I agree.
Apocalypse Now was so dark.
I personally wouldn't rewatch Apocalypse Now
What's
often.
Next, Deer Hunter?
It's fucking awesome. It's
fucking
too.
Dark as shit.
Yeah. No, but it is an incredible movie. I can understand why someone would rewatch it. And A Fish Called Wanda is one of the funniest fucking movies ever.
I haven't seen it in a very long time.
Oh, it's so good. Sylvia Diaz says Beauty and the Beast, Legally Blonde.
Which Beauty and the Beast?
I'm assuming the original.
The original.
Let's go with the good one.
Mean Girls and Menace to Society.
One of these things is not like the other.
She says, judge me all you want, but that's what makes me a Sylvia.
Yes, it does.
Your story checks out.
Katie Morado says, Bridesmaids and Flashdance. Thanks for
playing.
Thanks for playing, Katie. Luis D is my uncle. Says The Godfather, Braveheart, Forrest Gump, and Scarface. Solid fucking list.
All but one, yes.
Oh, there it is.
You know what? Scarface is actually a rewatchable movie.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think it's a great movie, but I think it's a rewatchable movie.
See, for
movie.
Me, I think Scarface borders on too long for rewatchability.
Nah, you know why?
Actually, I think all these movies, except for Forrest Gump.
I think Scarface... Forrest Gump is a long movie.
Super long.
But it doesn't feel long. No. It's fast paced.
Scarface, to me, I don't like the movie. Let me rephrase that. I don't think it's a good movie. I like the movie. I don't think it's a good movie. However, as far as rewatchability,
it is rewatchable.
Fuck if it's not rewatchable.
Yeah. Very quotable.
Very.
What's your favorite Pokemon?
Jason Gorelick says Benchwarmers. Any Harry Potter movie?
Benchwarmers.
So I'm just going to pick the first. I'm going to pick Harry Potter 3 because that's my favorite one. Dumb and Dumber and The Harry Nightmare
Potter.
Before Christmas.
Any Harry Potter movie.
Oh, any.
Yeah, he said
I
any.
I didn't say wrong.
So that's a solid list. Jason.
Pick Chambers of Secrets. That's the best one.
Chamber of Secrets?
Yeah.
The worst one.
That's the best one.
Worst.
Get the fuck out of here, bro. That's the worst
that
one.
That is the worst
best one. Best one.
Aaron McGrath says
it's awesome.
It's awful. That
is that where you stopped watching?
Awful.
No. I stopped watching after that crazy that shit four, three, whichever one. It got quote unquote dark.
When the vampire dies.
Yes. Because his light was taken away. Mierda.
Aaron McGrath says Tommy Boy, Goodfellas, Dumb and Dumber, and Beauty and the Beast.
Favorite list.
Yeah.
Favorite that
Tommy Boy's, you know, fucking awesome.
I don't care what you say about those movies, fuck it, they're not all rewatchable.
She says just realized how much that combo doesn't make sense, but I have to disagree. That combo does make sense.
What doesn't make sense about that combo?
I don't know, everything makes sense to me.
She fucking threw in Menace to Society out of nowhere,
right?
Read that list again.
Tommy Boy, Goodfellas, Dumb and Dumber, and Beauty and the Beast. That makes sense
fantastic.
To me.
Fantastic.
Yeah. They're all winner. Fantastic.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. You're the winner of the tonight's drawing. We will mail you out. You know what? I'll give. Do you know her personally?
I do.
I will give her a copy of my CD.
All right.
She wins my list.
All right. So in 2 months, Aaron, you're going to get a copy of this. Dave Eisenberg says, I don't like to rewatch movies, but if I do, they would be Apocalypse Now, The Ten Commandments, Shawshank Redemption, Indiana...
You rewatch The Ten Commandments? That movie's like 6 hours long.
That's I don't like awesome to rewatch movie, movies, though. But when I do, they're long as shit.
They take
when I do, I like
guessing.
It to hurt. Yeah. and the Indiana Jones trilogy, so I'm just going to go ahead and pick one, and it's going to be Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I'm going to pick Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
And Austin Powers, that's a fifth one, and so I'll make that your honorable mention, Dave. Thanks, man. I love you, buddy. Caesar Diaz says Twister, Tron Legacy, any Jason Bourne movies. I'll go with the first one. He says except Legacy, so okay. And Rogue One. And Manny Valles says The Great Gatsby.
Rogue One is really rewatchable.
It is.
A lot.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, I've seen it 4 times. Okay. I saw it 3 times opening weekend. What the fuck? And each time it got better because each time the theater that I saw it in was better than the previous one.
I'm not sure.
I saw it in IMAX the first time.
The fucking Uber IMAX. It wasn't regular IMAX. It was in a fucking dome where
It was King Kong IMAX.
The planetarium?
Yes, it was literally at the planetarium in San Jose.
Oh,
planet. Arium. I'm not sure which Great Gatsby Manny's referring to, but if I know Manny, it's probably the Robert Redford. No, it's the Robert Redford Faye Dunaway one.
I don't think either one of you know this guy, Manny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's said
only my niece's godfather.
Because both of you go, if I know him, and you said the exact opposite ones. So I don't think either one of you fucking know this guy.
He then goes on to say, any of the original Star Wars trilogy, so let's just go with A New Hope, the original.
Let's go with the best one and go with...
Empire Strikes Back, no problem.
Sure.
And then A Nightmare Before Christmas and Forrest Gump.
I don't like Nightmare Before Christmas.
I love that movie.
You don't get a CD.
You can buy that shit.
You can buy that shit.
$25 for you.
Don't you have a list to read near?
I do. I was just waiting.
Yeah, no, that's it. Okay. I'm done. Sorry.
So off of my personal Facebook page, we have Jeanette Travesos. Am I reading that correctly? I'm sleepy.
Trasobares.
Okay.
Nope,
Trasso,
not even a little bit.
Trasso Artis. It wasn't that way.
You were in a ballpark.
I was in a ballpark. You're saying not even a little bit. There was a T, there was an S, there was a B. Her list, she did a number of them, so I could only read them in the order she gave them. Clerks, Singles, Breakfast Club, and Say Anything.
Breakfast Club is so good. So is Clerks, for that matter.
Mike Pace said, really, dude? That's how
I never saw that one.
And then the thing is, he liked the post, but then said, "Really, dude,
what was he upset about?"
I don't know. And I go, "Why do you sound angry?" Like
you,
I was like,
"Do you know
what
him,
part of?
Do you know him personally?
Yeah, yeah, yeah."
Text him.
And I was like, "Why are you so
Wake
angry?
Wake up and tell me what's your problem."
No, what did I do to you?
No, he lives in San Diego. He's awake. Oh, and he's a comic. He's awake. Waylon Paulin put Shawshank. I'm assuming he means Redemption. Batman, and I asked him which one. He said the 1989 version.
The right answer.
Forrest Gump and Back to the Future.
That's a solid list.
That's a fucking phenomenal
yeah.
list. That Waylon, if you want to see the yeah, text me. Will Watkins of the Zeroes on Hero podcast puts Saving Private Ryan, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Guardians of the Galaxy, and John Wick.
That's a good list too, man.
It's a fantastic list.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he has something old, something new, and...
something borrowed and something blue.
Ha!
BFF.
So gay.
yeah.
And then he said, I saw Galaxy and I thought it was Galaxy Quest. Would have been a great one. So true. It's so true.
Galaxy Quest
Javier Carrion
Bardem? Bardem is how you pronounce that?
Groundhog Day.
That's fucking awesome, but that's the only one?
That's the only one.
Thanks for playing.
He just watches it 4 times.
There you go.
You guys gotta watch Before I Lay. Before I wake.
You've said that to me like 3 times.
I'm
in the last
fucking
24 hours.
Telling you, you have to watch this movie. Why is it? Why are you not? Why do you not take me? When have I ever told you you have to watch a movie and then it sucked? Name me a fucking time that I'm not bad.
I've yet to watch a movie that you've told me I had to watch.
Thank you.
I've watched a few of them.
Okay, and have I ever let you down?
No.
No. Because you know what? Even if you didn't like it, I never told you you have to watch it is Grandma's Boy. I never said you have to watch it.
That's true.
I said it was good and it was really funny. Mm-hmm. I never said you have to watch it.
You actually said that it's as funny as Ace Ventura.
It is.
That's not true.
Okay. My God.
And Daniel Converse says, Back to the Future, True Romance, Dazed and Confused, and Fight Club.
Ugh, True Romance.
Fight Club is awesome.
Not really a Fight
Club. I don't know about rewatchability. But
yeah, Fight Club doesn't.
Yeah, Fight Club doesn't awesome. Have the same magic it does that first time around.
Yeah, I think you watch it a second time.
When you watch Saw, you go, yeah. We know already what's
yeah,
going to happen.
Yeah, The Sixth Sense,
point.
Any of those.
I think like, watching any one of those movies with a great twist at the end a second time is fun because then you're picking out all the things that kind of hinted at it. Right.
Yeah, but after that second time,
yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's still a great movie though.
Yeah, Will Lopez says, I'm sorry, Jim Fedrick. Sorry, didn't mean to skip you, Jim. Trainspotting, The Big Chill, Shawshank Redemption, and Blazing Saddles. 3 out of 4 are fantastic.
Blazing Saddles, man. 3 out of 4 love it. Love it.
Will Lopez has Rocky, Shawshank Redemption, It's a Wonderful Life, Ordinary People. Then he puts another list. He comments on his own list and then puts Good Will Hunting, Goodfellas, Hoosiers, and Caddyshack. Like your second list better, bro. even though you have Rocky and Shawshank, and, man, if you could just pick 2 and 2 out of those fucking two lists. Mike Alexander puts The Fifth Element, The Incredibles, Duck Soup, which is a Marx Brothers movie. I don't, whatever. And Clerks 2.
Clerks was fucking great.
Except for that Marx Brothers one, which I've never seen.
Yeah, the rest of the list is fantastic.
The rest of the list is great.
Sheldon, which is Gay Sheldon on Big 105.
Oh,
okay.
Sheldon puts Independence Day, Color Purple, Forrest Gump, X-Men, Days of Future Past. I love fucking Sheldon. Then Missy Hernandez puts number 4, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Number 3,
that's a good one.
Almost Famous.
Love that movie.
That's number 2, Singing in the Rain, one of my favorite musicals
that
of all
is
time.
Awesome.
And number 1, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
What a great fucking list.
I have yet to
list.
Watch.
Missy's the tits.
I have yet. She
You've
made me watch Dirty Dancing.
I don't know if you're gonna.
I said she lost a cool point. Not.
I don't know if you
point.
Would like Breakfast at Tiffany's, but Breakfast at Tiffany's is great.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
Doesn't seem like it's up your alley.
I said the same thing to him about Casablanca, and he said he really liked it.
I really like Casablanca a lot.
Okay.
A lot. Liked it better than North by Northwest.
No, I love North by Northwest.
Not better than Casablanca.
No, I wouldn't say it's better than Casablanca either.
That's what I just said. Yeah. I said it's not. And you go, oh, I love North by Northwest.
Well, I just needed to you know, clarify, I love that movie.
Okay.
Your story
Hey, nobody here.
Nobody's going to challenge you on that,
nobody's
bro.
Nobody's arguing with you. Missy's honorable mentions are Sisters. What?
Lost me.
Yeah. I don't even know what movie that is.
That was with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Oh, but I do like Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
I do like Amy, yeah.
Oh, he does like funny girls.
Mm. Oh. I know, I do. If they're funny, I like them. If they are not funny, I don't.
That's not true. You don't like
Melissa McCarthy. Melissa McCarthy.
Like I said, if they're not funny,
Sisters.
Listen, it's not like she's Jenny McCarthy, okay?
Oh, she's funny as fuck too.
She is funny.
She's funny.
She is awful.
That may be true, but she is really funny.
Is it because of the vaccination thing?
It's because a whole lot.
She's just stupid, but she's super hot and funny. She's like quirky
she's
funny.
She's
like,
yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's like legit funny. Sisters, Twister, Scream 3, You've Got Mail, Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. Okay, she's taking from the Jeff Mercancini
School
of Honorable Mentions.
And
then she puts more honorable mentions. Friday and Across the Universe. Hashtag final answer. Loretta Delgado puts Back to the Future. That's it. That's all she put.
Oh, man.
Why is this list repeating over and over again?
Because you broke it.
I did. Jeannie's Zappa puts Legends of the Fall, which is such a good movie. I love that movie so much that I literally bought it when she posted it. I go, oh, I don't own it. I'm buying the movie. I bought that movie 2 hours ago when I first read this. Then the other movie she puts is Moulin Rouge and Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm assuming she means Curse of the Black Pearl.
I like part 3 a lot too. Part 4.
Part 4 is good too.
I like part 4 a lot.
Yeah. I did not like part 3.
Chrissy Gotte, which is a great friend.
No,
5 is
no,
5 is new.
I like 5 too.
I haven't seen you saw 5?
I haven't seen it.
With Patty that week that I went to the movies like 18 times.
It's good?
Yeah.
What I like
it just came out last week.
Yeah, I know. I went to see The Mummy with these two, and then the next day I went with Patty to go see Pirates.
Nice.
It didn't come out last week. It came out Memorial Day weekend.
Thanks. Chrissy Gotte, which is a friend of mine. I'm going to give the disclaimer.
She's my friend now.
I'm going to give her the disclaimer. You steal all my friends. I'm going to give the disclaimer that she's a friend of mine because I'm going to make fun of her list entirely. And she starts off the list by saying, "You are going to laugh at me." She knows me so well. Taken. White House Down, Con Air, and Drumline.
I like Drumline.
I like Drumline and Con Air.
I watched Drumline more than
I saw Drumline once and I wanted to die. That movie's terrible.
That movie was awful.
What?
That movie sucks.
What are you talking about? You guys don't like black people? Is that what it is?
It has nothing to do with
racist,
black people.
Racist.
I just that movie's awful.
So racist.
So racist, dude. That's not cool, man. Hashtag not cool.
Hashtag geek, we're so white.
I like every one of those movies. I just would not put them on any kind of mountain. I gotta be up in 6.5 hours.
Oh, Cry Me a River.
Joe Duenas has Reservoir Dogs, Beetlejuice, True Lies, any Stanley Kubrick movie.
Yes. Yeah, no, those are all the right answers.
Really? Any Stanley Kubrick movie? Eyes Wide Shut. We're gonna put that there?
Fuck yeah.
You're gonna put that as a rewatchable movie?
Yeah.
The fuck out of my face.
This guy watches Clockwork Orange like twice a year at least.
There's a couple scenes in there that are rewatchable. I'll tell you that.
Okay, right. Mr. Skin.
So
Oni Perez has
chapter 14.
That song stuck in my head all day today. Oh my god, yes. This is Mr. Skin Monday. Like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
Oni Perez has A Few Good Men, The Shawshank Redemption, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and Forrest Gump. That's the best list.
One of these is not like the other, though.
That's the best list. He has a comedy.
That is a great list.
That's a fantastic list. Willie Gonzalez has Goodfellas, Black Hawk Down, A Few Good Men, The Godfather. Nope, you win. All right, Willie, you win. That's the winner, chicken dinner. Helen Izquierdo has Fifth Element, Fools Rush In, A Walk in the Clouds, and The Rundown. Fuck it, even a good list, man.
Fools Rush In is a great fucking movie.
Is that the one with...
That's Matthew Perry, Matthew Perry.
Yes. Yeah, that yes. is a good one.
It's a great fucking movie.
That's probably
I haven't thought about that movie in so long.
I know.
That probably makes my mountain of romantic comedies.
That might.
Jesus,
you know,
I haven't thought about
movie.
That movie.
I just watched that again.
Is it a romantic comedy?
Yes.
Is it a romantic comedy?
Yeah,
I see it as a romantic movie, but I don't really see the comedy in it.
It's funny. It has its moments.
Okay, but not like Fools Rush In. Fools Rush In is legit funny.
No, that movie's hilarious.
Hey, you ready to be upset? Rotten Tomato score for Fools Rush In, 33%.
Fuck them.
What the fuck?
So is Men on Fire.
33%. But 4.5 stars. How the fuck does that figure?
Bro. All right. Where was I? Helen is Scared. Okay. John Evans, Enter the Dragon, The Untouchables, Forrest Gump, and Trading Places. Solid list.
Yeah, it is a solid list.
Tony Esposito has Godfather 2, Goodfellas and Casino. You know what? That's a great list. A bit predictable, but it's a great list. Why can't I like this comment? It's not letting me like comment, bro. I don't know why it's not letting me like the comment. Something wrong with the post. Anyways, all right, so.
Yes, blame Facebook.
I will blame Facebook because I'm allowed to blame Facebook. All right, so our number ones. Stephanie.
My number one is Back to the Future.
Wait, we're not going to give our own honorable mentions?
Oh, sorry. Oh, you're right. Shit,
sorry.
Right. I apologize.
Spoiler alert, really? Stephanie.
Sorry. That's Neri's fault. Blame it on Neri.
Okay.
My honorable mentions are Star Wars, Mean Girls, Legally Blonde, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Moulin Rouge.
That was really fast.
It's a lot of movies.
It's five.
Yeah, it's a lot of movies.
Okay, so since I didn't get to put kids' movies in my mountain, my honorable mentions are mostly kids' movies. So I have Moana, Trolls.
Sing.
Sing. And I'll pick one more just to make it four. I don't know.
Brave.
Peanuts.
But Brave is
the
Brave.
The Peanuts
is up there
movie
too.
Is so good.
It's really good.
Yeah, Peanuts.
The
is
Peanuts
up there.
Movie is great.
That is awesome.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm gonna go. Dick Tracy. Fucking love that movie. Romancing the Stone.
Never
Star. Oh, dude, you gotta watch it.
No, you don't.
That sounds dirty.
Shut up. Jeez. I'm gonna go with Star Wars, A New Hope. Even though Empire Strikes Back is my favorite, A New Hope is the most rewatchable.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, he's nuts, man.
And let's go.
Episode one is more rewatchable.
Let's go. Terminator,
shit.
Jaws, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Wrath of Khan, so I can get them all in there.
It's Tuesday now.
Yeah.
My honorable mentions are Good Will Hunting, which hurts me not to make the list. Man on Fire, which is I see that movie once a year, and. What was it gonna say? Goodfellas. And wait, what did I pick last? Goodfellas, Man on Fire. That's it. That's all I had. And
what's you started off with seven movies, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's my list. That's my honorable mentions.
All right, Steph.
Okay.
So you're number one.
My number one, shocking, is Back to the Future.
I am so surprised.
Two? Back to the Future 2?
No. It should be Back to the Future 2 franchise. It's my favorite one.
My pick was Back to the Future 2 and you said table.
You said just Back to the Future.
Did I?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sleepy, so I'm not going to argue this list. Right. I'm not going to argue this right now, but okay.
2 is my favorite of the franchise, but I won't just start watching 2 for no reason. And truth be told, I'll start it from the beginning and I'll sit and watch all three of them. This is one of the movies. This Star Wars and the Indiana Jones franchise were the ones that my brother and I would like before when we were like locked in our rooms when my mom was cleaning. These are the movies that we would watch. And of the three of those, this is the one that I love the most. I can go all three of these movies line by line. David has seen me do it.
Yeah.
It's so great. I love this movie, and it's like it's science-y, and I wasn't like that kind of kid, but I like it because it's also history, and I was that kind of kid. So this movie made me fall in love with the 50s. It made me want to like be a 50s teenager.
You dated somebody who owns a fedora.
Yep,
just like they did in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And then. But that this movie also like sparked my fascination with time travel as a kid, and I also am a really big fan of like the Old West because of this film franchise. Also, so this movie's great. Christopher Lloyd is like the best.
And he really is,
huh?
He really is.
He really is. He's the best. There's a lot of like trivia about this movie that's like kind of nuts in the sense that like they casted Marty was a completely different actor in the first for the first like 8 weeks or something like that.
Two weeks. But okay. 2 weeks of filming is a long time.
Yeah.
Right. So the first couple of weeks it was a completely different actor.
When you think about a movie typically lasts 2 or 3 months maybe of filming and 2 weeks is that's a good portion of the movie.
Yeah,
of filming.
So then they fired him and started over again, and like for the
it's gonna be suck, bro. It's gonna be it has problems.
Yeah, exactly.
It has problems.
So and then like for the second movie, like they had to use like stock, like stock footage of George McFly because Crispin Glover didn't want to come back on for it.
Well, that's why he's hanging upside down on
right,
that back
stretcher. Not him. It's a different actor. I like
he's hanging what?
He's hanging
when he comes into the McFly house and he's upside down on that little machine thing stretching out his back.
No, that he says that, yeah, he's stretching because he threw his back out on the golf course, like that whole thing. That's actually not the same actor from the first one. Because he didn't want to sign on for that second movie.
Not for
what they were offering him, and they didn't want to give him more money. So when you go back, now when they go back to the 50s, that's just the same. Any footage of him is the same footage from the first movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Your number three.
It was my number three. I thought I picked Back to the Future 2, but they're all interchangeable, I think, because they're all fantastic in their own and all together. And this is by far the greatest movie trilogy of all time. And I don't give a fuck what anybody says about anything. That's my opinion.
I'm not going to disagree with you for this simple reason. It's not my favorite trilogy, but for me, there's no movie trilogy that more perfectly ties up its story. Like, it has, even though 2 and 3 weren't planned when they did number 1, there's a clear direction that this thing is headed in, and fucking only Robert Zemeckis can make it. You know, he's just the fucking man.
Yeah, I hope they get him for The Flash. I'm a huge fan of Back to the Future, all of them. You know, it did spark my fascination with time travel. To me, any movie that has time travel can only, like, you're already winning in my book. If you have time travel, it takes a lot for you to fuck up a time travel movie in my eyes, because I love time travel that much. The idea of time travel.
Oddly enough, it's so easy to fuck up a time travel movie. You gotta have your plot.
I don't know of many time travel movies that I don't like. I liked The Time Machine with
Time
Guy
Machine
Pierce.
Is awesome.
With Guy Pierce.
That's a great remake.
It's a great remake.
I don't like it more than the original, but that is a great remake.
And I like Time Cop, and I like Back to the Future, and I'm struggling.
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
There you go.
That is a good time travel movie.
That's the only one that I have an issue with, because there's a fucking Harry that's stuck somewhere in time.
he's stuck in a causality loop.
What's going on? Why is there a fucking Harry stuck in a loop?
You still haven't seen the Philadelphia Experiment, right? The one that I told you? Oh, God, you got to watch it. It's a great time travel movie, man.
Look at her. We're going to have sex later. Relax. Calm down. We'll take it easy. She's like, get him out of the house so we can have sex.
I'm
my wife is so
really
like...
I'm not to fall asleep sitting here.
All right, so...
I can't make fun of my mom for falling asleep sitting up for me to fall asleep sitting up.
Yeah, but she does it at 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
All right, so Back to the Future 2 is the hoverboard. Come on, man.
Yeah,
I was 10 years old when that movie came out.
Isn't that the one that's the one with the self-tying shoes?
Yes, self-tying shoes and everything. The almanac, which is way too thin for an almanac of that fucking of that complexity.
But that's such a genius idea. Like, if you found yourself into the future, wouldn't you want some kind of, like, information, and then you can go back and make a shit ton of money?
Here's the problem now.
Genius.
It's become a self-fulfilled prophecy, because I don't know if I would ever have thought of that prior to that movie, and now because of that movie, that's the only thing I think about: time travel, get rich, get an almanac. I've never seen an almanac in real life ever.
I'm sure if we went to Barnes and Noble, we would find them.
They have to.
Yeah, they do. I've seen them.
I know that. I've heard about these farmers' almanacs, but I don't think they tell you sports scores. I don't think you can gamble on the weather. I bet you tomorrow's going to be 88.
You know, your bookie doesn't take weather bets.
Invest in Apple. Yeah. Invest in Apple.
That, actually, you know, that you say that, there's an episode of Family Matters where Steve invents a time machine, and he leaves Carl finds it and leaves a note for himself.
Family Matters.
Yeah. To invest in Apple, Mattel, and I think... I can't remember what the other was, but it was three companies, and like you go into the future from that timeline, and they're like super rich. They're in the same house, but they're rich as fuck.
Well, why wouldn't you be in the same house? You just expand.
Yeah.
So I do. If I win the lottery, I'm just buying up. I'm just buying the fucking block. If I win the lottery,
Geek Street. And a geek bro communist. It's coming.
So Back to the Future 2 is my was my number three.
Yes.
And you're number one.
Yes.
All right. So Vanessa, number one.
My number one is Pitch Perfect.
Love it.
That movie's so good.
I watch that movie. I'm not a movie watcher. I'd rather watch TV shows, but when I want to watch a movie and I can't pick one, I always default to Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, I've probably seen Pitch Perfect probably 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, me too.
It's a great movie.
Pitch Perfect is great.
I like the music. All the acting in the movie I think is great. It's just fun. It's a fun movie.
It's great songs.
Yeah.
The music great is song fantastic. Selection. That's what I was missing from part two, in my opinion. The song selection wasn't as great as part one. My opinion.
They had picked so many great songs that suited a cappella music in that first one. There was no way they were
not even, dude. They had Usher. They had Pitbull.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily like, it wasn't that they weren't picking barbershop songs, you know.
I didn't say that.
I'm giving you the example of like songs that you wouldn't typically imagine to be good for a cappella. They picked, you know, when you listen to Pitbull, you don't think, oh man, this would be a great a cappella song. But it worked. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love this movie.
I like the
Aka, excuse me, was
it's perfect.
I like the little Chinese girl that's always whispering like really fucked up shit.
Oh my god. If you watch it with the captions on, you even catch even more shit that you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Some whoa. Dark shit.
Yeah, some really dark shit.
I ate my
shit.
Twin in the womb. Like, come on.
I set fire to fuel things.
I love that she makes the vomit angel.
Oh my god. Yes. That was so uncomfortable for me because I abhor vomiting. And like watching that in the theater,
it's so
I was
gross.
Like, oh my god, I can't. Why is this happening?
That really shocked me. It shocked me in the beginning when it first happened, and it shocked me at the end when it happened.
Yeah.
I was really thrown. I was like, whoa.
That movie gave us the concept of horizontal running.
Horizontal running is a thing, and I will do it all the time.
No, you won't.
Or when like they're in a fight, and
even horizontal running, you're like, a lot of effort.
When they get in a fight, the two like the guy a cappella groups, and then Fat Amy's like, vertical running, and she just runs away. I'm like, I love that she calls herself Fat Amy.
I love, what was her name? Salami Tits? What was her name?
A Bologna Barb.
Bologna Barb. Fuck, man. And then she's like, I know you call me Bologna Barb. She puts her, opens up her overshirt, and you go like, oh my God, Jesus. So good.
So yeah, Pitch Perfect is
and
mine.
Another great, one of my favorite lines in that movie, such a throwaway line, but I love it. He was like, don't do any weird stuff, okay? And he goes, what do you mean by weird stuff? And the pigeon just lands on his head, and he's like, right. Which, by the way, ad-libbed.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because they show, like, what do you mean by weird things? And he does, like, a bunch of magic tricks or whatever.
Right.
And the fucking bird landed on his head on one take, on one of the takes.
And that's like, just fucking
and you just go with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, David. You're number one.
My number one is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Is anyone surprised?
Anybody shocked?
This is now the third time that something Indiana Jones related is the number one on my mountain.
Where's
color me surprised.
Number five, not number four, number three, number two. We're number one. Let's go, Raiders. No? Cheer camp? Nobody. Yeah. I'm the only one.
I didn't go to cheer camp, so.
Did
you do that cheer?
Yes.
Yeah. This to me is the greatest movie of all time. I know.
Greatest movie of all time.
Jesus Christ.
That's
David.
My opinion.
All right. I'm asking. I'm just verifying that you don't mean the greatest rewatchable movie of all time. I'm just clarifying that this is your favorite movie of all time.
This is my favorite all time movie.
Okay.
And also happens to be the movie that I've rewatched the most in my life. And happens to be the movie that I also agree to being the most rewatchable. So it fits every single criteria that you could possibly think of for me for this.
Is this the one with the refrigerator?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Because what every good movie needs is an impossible fucking scenario that might get a chuckle or two.
It needs a fridge.
Yeah. No, not that fridge garbage.
Do we got a fridge? Do we got a nuke?
Problem solved.
All right.
There we go.
Done.
We got a scene. All right, move on. George, shouldn't we flesh this out?
Nope.
Nah. No one's going to ask questions.
No, it's past my bedtime.
Yeah, I mean, this movie has the perfect balance, in my opinion, the perfect balance of action, of adventure, of comedy, of drama, of romance. This is, and I mentioned that earlier, that Princess Bride, I classify as a perfect movie. Mm-hmm. I think that this is a more perfect movie, in my opinion, for me.
Right.
I also put True Lies in that scenario, where it's just, there is something for everyone. Someone who says, I don't like this movie, you want to not like this movie, because there is something there for you. You may not love it, you may not think that it's the greatest movie of all time, but there is literally something in this movie for everyone. And for me, everything about this movie is fantastic.
But it doesn't have fridges. Does it have a fridge?
It doesn't have swinging on vines.
And that is 100% right. You are so right about that.
It doesn't have something for everybody. Because you know, there's one person like, oh, I wish there was a fridge. I wish there was swinging vines and monkeys. I wish there was that.
It doesn't have...
Doesn't have enough UFO.
Killer ants eating people.
That killer ant scene is actually really cool.
Okay.
Listen, I...
Sure, Jen.
Yeah, sure, Jen.
I don't know what I can say about this movie that I haven't already said before.
Then don't say.
All right, then.
I won't. I will say, however, that I
my plan did not work.
I've probably seen this movie 50 times in my life, maybe more.
Your story checks out.
I don't see myself seeing it any less than another 50 in the next 30 years.
Vaya con Dios.
Oh, he's got a kid to watch with.
It is the most important movie to me. There is no movie that I hold closer to my heart than this movie.
It's funny, man. You should watch season 2 of Legends of Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Legends. They have a George, what's his name, episode.
George Lucas?
George Lucas. And they have to go back in time, and they have to get him to make movies, because he at one point quits making movies.
Oh.
And that's a big deal, because the movies that he makes, two of the movies that he makes, inspire two of the legends to become what they became.
Oh,
become
no way.
And to become adventurers. And so they, in order for, like, they start phasing out, like in Back to the Future.
Oh, that's so fucking
cool.
So
they have to get him to agree to make movies, because his movies are that impactful to society.
It seems I quit Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, Legends of Tomorrow season 2 is way better than season 1.
I did not like season 1.
Well,
I stopped about halfway through.
You're an evil human being and you don't deserve to live. But
okay, fantastic.
Season 2 is
just
better.
Bury me with my brown fedora and my Blu-ray steelbook copy of Raiders of the Lost Ark and the novelization and my jacket. And
the bullwhip.
Anything else?
And the bullwhip. And the bag. I mean, I'm not that fat.
I just meant your stuff was taking up all the space.
No,
it wasn't
no.
a fat joke.
It should be.
I think it was. I think it was. No. I am hurt.
So.
Well, that's.
If only there was a lead lined fridge I can get into to keep me from all of the burns.
Burns. So that's your number one?
Number one, man. Love
my
it.
My number one, again, is completely different than what I assumed. Thought my list was going to be, and my number one is also Raiders of the Lost Ark. No, I'm kidding. He's so happy.
I was like, seriously?
I almost pulled down your shorts and started doing fellatio in front of your wife.
This
and
is
my
how
wife.
You do it. No, and just start going at it. My number one is my favorite movie of all time. It is one of the only two movies that I would ever rate as far as my number one and my number two of all time. I've said this 1,000 times. I have seen this movie. I can't count how many times I've seen it. I saw it on VHS probably 20 times on VHS. And damn. I see it often. Even when I'm not watching it in its entirety, I watch parts, bits and pieces, is Braveheart. I have a movie
awesome
poster
movie,
framed
man.
On my in my living room. That is not an exaggeration to the listeners. That is not...
your favorite movie was Gladiator.
No, Gladiator is number two.
Ah.
Number two, which again, my original list was going to be basically my living room.
Got it.
It was going to be my original list was going to be Goodfellas, Gladiator, Braveheart, and then I was going to pick like a fourth one just to like throw off, and that did not go the way I expected. I love everything about Braveheart. It is what gives me patience and forgiveness for Mel Gibson. Every time he says something or does something that I do not approve of socially, I go, hey,
there was Braveheart.
He gave us Braveheart and Apocalypto and
The Patriot
and The Patriot and Passion of the Christ. So we can't
and Lethal Weapon
movies. So, but Braveheart is at the top of that list. If he made nothing else on earth, Braveheart was it for me.
That is his crowning achievement.
Won him the Oscar. I love that movie. I love everything about that movie. I did my senior year research paper on the real William Wallace. I wanted to name my son William, and she wouldn't let me because the middle name had to be Wallace, and she would not allow me. So we could have had a William in our household, but she chose otherwise. So.
Bill.
No. Willie.
Bill.
Willie.
Bill.
Willie.
No.
Bill.
Willie Wall? Willy Wall.
Okay.
Willy Wally. All right,
guys. So that is what's our final four in Aries signs?
Our final four.
There's three tables.
There's Back to the Future's table.
Birdcage.
Birdcage.
And Princess Bride. Princess Bride
is tabled.
So three.
The fourth one is the only one
Pitch for Perfect. Yes.
I wouldn't argue that.
It's 12:30 at night, so I'm not going to argue that.
No. I vote for my number.
Dave wants to argue it. I can tell. Look at his face.
Look at his face.
That's not the one from your list that I would put on there, but it's a solid pick.
Which one would you put on there from her list? Little Mermaid?
Little Mermaid, yeah.
I might agree with you. Yeah.
And it would be nice to have an animated movie on the mountain.
I'm cool with either option.
There you go. That's the mountain is Birdcage, Back to the Future. What am I doing?
The Princess Bride.
Princess Bride and Little Mermaid. And that's how winning is. That's how lists are made.
Good night, people.
Bye. Oh, check out geekbro.net. Check out the podcasts at geekbro.net, including Mamas of Merlot, What's Good, the What's Up Bro podcast, Cosplay Fame, Zeroes on Hero, our newest edition, which is Comedy Fitness with comedian Don Gray. Check out Comedy Fitness and Shiver and House of Heel. That's how lists are made.
Bye.
Chanda Paul, so me go so then. Well, I don't really care what people say. I don't really watch what them want do. Still, I got to stick to my girls like glue. And I might not play number two. All I know, the time it is getting jet. Need a lot of trees up in my head. Had a lot of dental in my bed to run that real. Well, I know flick a girl, them on the road, them got the goody goody. One thing me up, it tell them don't take out the woody woody. Front way, back way, cut the came on off and show me, Virgin, them. One give me and me up it okay took it. Hot girls out the road, I said them see me. And I tell me say them have something for gimme. How much time I night them all a dream about the Jimmy. Them a promise and I tell me say a fimmy. But a promise is a compare to a fool. So cool. But they don't know, say that man a fi rule the school. When I pet them, just wet them up just like a pool. When I dig me terry way, I fi use up me tool. Well, I don't really care what people say. I don't really watch what them want do. Still I got to stick to my girls like glue. And I'm and now play number two. All I know this time it is getting jet. Need a lot of cheese up in my head. Got a lot of dental in my bed to run that real head. So how can they want big up them chest? But they don't know the tick up with their rated as the best. And wouldn't they love it's the sound of all this. When I get up in a guy, your only girls with your request, just give me the girl them. Yo, in every minute I'm with it, forget the girl them. Excuse it and get them regular visit, just give me the girl them. Now them all a pressure, me sell it last year. Me, I did that for them off. Be them big papa, give me the girl them. Off of the chronic, we take a drag. And I don't mean to brag, every day I got to shag. Give me the girl them. Every time I look in, my mind is on the girls. I want to find a true, my love them design. Well, I don't really care what people say. I don't really watch what them want do. Still, I got to stick to my girls like glue. And I might not play number two. All I know, the time it is getting jet. Need a lot of cheese.
Everybody
up in my head.
Give it to them. Take it to them. Give it to them.
Ready, jump, run the boat, run the boat, run the boat, you know, run the boat now. Signal the plane on the signal the plane, jump. Signal the plane on the signal the plane now. Parachute, parachute, parachute it, parachute now. Pan
say, I don't really watch what them want do. Still I got to stick to my girls like glue, and I'm a now play number two. All I know the time it is getting dread. Need a lot of cheese up in my head. Got a lot of damsel in my bed to run that real. All I know flick a girl on motor road, them got the goody goody. Man take me off and tell them that they got the woody woody. Front way, back way, cutty came on off and show me, show me. Virgin them want give me and me off and tooky tooky. Hot girl on motor road, I say them see me, see me. And I tell me say them have something for gimme, gimme. How much time I them all a dream about me, Jimmy, Jimmy. Them a promise and I tell me say a fimmy, fimmy. But a promise is a comfort to a fool, so cool. But they don't know, say that man off and rule the school. When I pet them, just wet them up just like a pool. When I dig that a rim, I have to use up my tool. Well, I don't really care what people say. I don't really watch what them want do. Still, I got to stick to my girls like glue. And I'm a now play number two. All I know the time it is getting jerked.